I was trying to help him win. I was giving him what I thought were very clear, like, path forward of objective things he could do to convince Americans that he was focused on their desperate needs. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like he was that engaged. And his other meeting, like the one after me, was like rich people trying to give him statues and stuff. And he was talking about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. And it's just like he wasn't engaging in the fight. Like, I don't think he had the fight. And listen, I don't think I would personally be able to go through the things that Donald Trump went through. They put him through so much, you know, like all the convictions and all the attacks.
Well, let me interrupt again because you're so on target. Again, you're on the show last June or whatever. You say you're in an emergency situation. Everyone's turning on you. Change course now. He could have done it. The vice president sees it, calls you up there, 3-hour meeting. He shows up for part of it. You lay it out. He's like, oh, I got to go be given gold statues and talk about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. You're literally brought in as an intervention to like convince him because they know you're the top pollster. I mean, again, we're not, it's like exactly, I'm done helping him because it doesn't do anything. I mean, I remember telling him when he was president-elect 10 years ago, sir, Fiona Hill is on the board of George Soros' foundation. This general is on it. They are your enemies.
How can we be, you know, the most powerful country in the world, it's not safe to walk around our cities? What the hell is going on? Yeah. I mean, Soros, honestly, misanthropic. You know, for someone who has, sort of claims to be doing good, but actually he is not. You know, he is tearing down the fabric of society. So, terrible.
Obama signed the Defense Authorization, you know, NDAA with $2 billion with stay-behind networks. What's that? They put their people in to counter and undermine you. Here's the legislation.
What is the legal theory behind the grand conspiracy, and is it viable in the federal courts?
I think there's a good chance that you're talking about a deprivation of civil rights under 18 U.S. Code 242. Ironically, perhaps, you could argue that there's a conspiracy to defraud the United States, which was a lead charge that Jack Smith used for January 6th.
And he's like, oh, Alex, you're so great. Let me talk to your wife. And seriously, God, your husband's incredible. You know how great he is? I mean, like 10 minutes, she's got him on speaker glazing me because that's his currency. And he does that. They glaze each other. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be glazed. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be mean. People ask like, oh, you're mad he called you low IQ. No, I stopped. They used to call and say, he's going to call you in a few hours and you wait by the phone. Will you take a call from the president? I got where I wouldn't even care because literally it's a robot machine kissing your ass to manipulate you.
I was getting hundreds of direct messages from 3-time Trump voters who were literally burning all their Trump hats and 55-gallon drums out back. Like, that's where we were because of all the overt, like, antagonization that he was taking out on his original base at the time. Like, that was the backdrop of my trip. And I don't want to be mean to the staff again because, like, they were listening very closely and JD, you know, wanted Trump to hear my message and Susie was listening and taking notes and they wanted to learn from me. But it's like what I didn't see was when you go into a major corporation and it's like this company has a vision. Somebody laid out a mission and I bet you they know what their quarterly goals are. And I bet you if you look, somebody's keeping track of how all the meetings tie back to strategic initiatives.
And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November.
Well, Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war.
I got kind of mouthy, and I was like, you know what? You know, Americans don't like oligarchy. They think that's what the problem is, and a lot of the people you're surrounding yourself make you look like an oligarch. And so you should smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy.
You said that. You said it on the show and after. A parade of Larry Ellison saying we're going to control you with AI ain't good, sir.
Yeah. It's bad. Like when you bring Mark Zuckerberg, who stole your election, into the White House the very first week of your inauguration, like that is not a good look. And Susie was like, oh, that's really good. I'm going to write that down and use it. But it's like they didn't use it. You know what I mean? Like we're still.
Lord Vader, The rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
We got a badass afternoon for you. I got the only Western journalist to be in Iran for the world's largest funeral procession in human history. Joining me in the second hour to talk all things Iran war and more. I've got the latest updates for you here in the first hour, and I plan on taking your calls in the third. My name is Rex Jones, your embattled host here at the Alex Jones Live Studios. Thank you all for being here with me today. I hate to have to start the show off this way, but I do. We have to witness things, and we have to witness what people are also saying about those things. I'm talking about more Americans dead, more Americans murdered in the Middle East. Can we go to the first thing in the rundown? Fallen American hero murdered by Iran, from Rabbi Shmuley. We've got Rabbi Shmuley giving us advice on the newest, latest American casualty, Sergeant Michael Emmanuel Swinton. Truly tragic, truly horrific. But notice this right here. Notice that. America will avenge you. Not Israel, not the IDF, not Netanyahu, not the Mossad. America will avenge you. Keep in mind, this man died in a war manufactured by and for Israel. And that is where we are to start today's show. The casualties continue to mount. I've got a clip later on where Senator Ted Lieu claims that we have almost 500 casualties, people seriously injured. I have to say, I think that number is still rather low. I think the truth won't come out on this for a matter of years. But this is how we start today's show. And this is why I just care so much about the politics and war issues, specifically geopolitically. The ignorance here in America is truly astounding. People are mad about the pump. They're kind of mad about the war. But we have this general apathy. What if that was your brother? Because he is, by the way. He is your American brother. What if it was your sister? What if your sister was Sarah Gonzalez? What if your brother was Tyler Woodall? It affects all genders, all races, all colors, all creeds, because we are all Americans united together. And he is now no longer with us. And Rabbi Shmuley is pleased. He is quite pleased because it allows him to push his narrative of war and death upon us as in, oh, you got to get him back now. You got to get him back. You got to get him back. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Who started this fight? That is the theme of today's show. I want to go ahead and go to the next thing here, which I literally saw and I threw up a little bit in my mouth, from Eric Daughtry, one of the most notorious propaganda accounts on X, in my opinion. I'm just going to read this caption to you, and I want you to try not to develop IBS. Holy crap. President Trump just announced the U.S. military will destroy one bridge or power plant, including in Tehran, for each time Iran attacks a ship in the Strait of Hormuz. Let's go ahead and roll that Trump clip if we got it.
I'll save the energy targets for last.
Wow.
But ultimately, we'll hit energy targets, yeah. But we're going to hit them very hard tonight. We're going to hit them very hard tomorrow night. We're going to hit them very hard the night after. And then next week, it gets really bad for them because next week comes the power plants. Next week comes the bridges. We're going to knock out all their power plants. We're going to knock out all their bridges. Unless they get to the table and negotiate.
So how's this going to work? You know, what's different than the first 39 days of the war where we used the majority of our missile and missile defense? You know, can we just hit them hard one more time? Maybe, I don't know, nuke Pickaxe Mountain and take care of it? That's my best Jesse Waters impression, that last little 5 seconds there. That's what some of these people fantasize about doing. And to Trump, it's just always the idea of the next attack, the next attack, the next attack, what he can do, what he as iPad kid president can watch on his like Fox News montage. It's like Inception, right? You have the president watching the president watch the president on TV. You understand we're not in Kansas anymore? Let's go ahead and go to the next thing here. Trump thinks the Iran war is popular. Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war. Let's play that.
As we go to honor these soldiers, do you have an update on the investigation as to how they were killed in Jordan?
No, they're doing that. That'll be released. You know what?
It was Iran targeting barracks.
I don't know. Well, they're going to pay a big price. They're being decimated.
Is that report inaccurate?
Yeah, please.
Sir?
Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war. That just came out loud and clear in a poll.
Pause it.
Nobody wants.
All right. Of course, no one knows what poll he's referring to or talking about because it's not real. Maybe Lutnick whispered it in his ear like Grima Wormtongue. The idea that Americans support a war that is bankrupting the country right now and is a future COVID 2.0, and everyone knows this, left, right, and center, the idea that anyone supports this besides the people around you that are billionaires or in the Oval Office or grifters in general, nobody is for this. Everyone wants it to end now. And this is why we have to look past Trump a little bit and say, why is the guy that has always been, you know, a good barometer on kind of like the will or the wants of the people, I guess we should say more the wants than the will, being able to portray himself as that. I mean, you talk about a historic mandate to win, to lead. We crushed the Democrats in 2024. They were inoperable. I mean, it was so bad the 80-year-old demented Joe Biden dropped out and then Kamala got yeeted and destroyed in the election, right? So they were shattered, literally don't have a single figurehead. Their strongest coalition leader is Gavin Newsom, a man who destroyed California. And now we are, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years into the Trump presidency, the second term, and they have reconstituted themselves and they are resurgent. And it's not our fault. It's not the fault of the people that voted for Donald Trump because we believed in his anti-war pro-peace policy. It has nothing to do with us. We don't have telepathic control over his mind. He lied to us directly. And then now Unk wants to go, hey, man, chill. Just chill out. Let me play Unk. We're not doing that anymore. People don't support your wars. People don't support you. Because Trump, you think it was always about, you know, the red tie and the YMCA and the Diddy dance where he, like, jerks off two dudes. And you thought that we all liked that or whatever. We tolerated that and found it funny because it was in service of you being a greater legend, right? Like Robin Hood being playful or something. We didn't realize you were the sheriff of Nottingham. So let's go back to Trump there and play the rest of the clip out.
Have a nuclear weapon. Do you want Iran to have a nuclear weapon? You think it's good?
You want
go
it?
Ahead. All I'm going to say is we love you. We love your child. And that's what they are to them. They're their children. There's no games, no nothing. That's their child. And all you can do is throw out your heart. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Piggy waddles back to the plane. If he cared about their child, he wouldn't have sent him and her, or both of them, off to go die in a base with no missile defense. Like, think about this. Think about the idea of saying, okay, I'm going to leave my child out on the highway. Right. I'm just going to take my child. Don't do this. This is for like comedic, illustrative, metaphoric purposes. I'm just going to leave my child on interstate, you know, and my child can't walk yet. Just crawling around. But it'll be good practice for the child to walk. In fact, I think the child's going to walk and run. Right. That's like saying I think it's good for our troops to be over in the Middle East in these bases. I think they're going to defeat Iran. How are they supposed to do that when they're in Kuwait, Jordan, Bahrain getting blown up? How does that work exactly? How do they defeat Iran? I've got a clip later. I'm not sure which one it is in the rundown. I don't want to get too distracted. I've got a clip later where it's some like, you know, the Holden blood feast meme, respected or like respectable bipartisan. It's a Democrat congressperson who's like questioning Hegseth or whatever. I don't remember his name. Very generic white guy. And he's going, the men and women can win, Hegseth, but they need leadership. They need your leadership on the field. You're not providing leadership. MAGA, what are you talking about? What leadership? leading him off a cliff like lemmings to die? Like the idea that you can have any position on this war other than getting the F out immediately, you have to be like 60 IQ liquid brain vegetable style, or you have to be like a sociopath who's trying to destroy the country. There's pretty much no in between. I'm going to play this. This is truly next level and extremely insulting. Trump is basically like the Lorax who speaks for the trees, except he's the Grim Reaper who speaks for the dead. I want to go to Trump on fallen U.S. troops. All of them said very strongly, we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
Some of you are going with us to honor our heroes, and they are indeed great heroes, actually. They said, and they, all of them said very strongly, we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. They won't have a nuclear weapon. So we're going to honor them.
Another lie from the Golden Lizard. Now I want to go to Tucker Carlson because I agreed with this clip when I saw it. It's a 30-second clip. My sense is that Trump's views are irrelevant. That's clip number 4 from Tucker.
My sense is that Trump's views are irrelevant. I don't think he was for this war with Iran. He did it anyway. He's utterly controlled. So there's that. J.D. Vance is the only person I'm aware of in American national politics with any power at all, to the extent he has power, who would oppose this. But I don't see anyone other than J.D. Vance.
I mean,
hope I'm wrong.
I hope you are too. I mean, there's no doubt that the voices of the independent media is starting to be heard. We've got a long, long way to go, but we're starting to be heard. But again, this is why I think this debate needs to happen now rather than later.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, independent media is kind of in a super cycle right now. And the people saying it's dead, it's stagnated, it's because they're a part of the old model and they're not trying to tell the truth. Everyone that's telling the truth right now about the giant geopolitical massive conflicts, degradation here back home, domestic policy, corruption, Epstein files, you name it, like that is the meta. That is the new wave right now. Whenever I hear Fuentes talk about, oh, I'm bored, like I don't want to do a show, or like I take a while, like I'm going to reformulate or come back to it, that's like Palpatine going, I'm too weak, Anakin, I'm too weak. Like, I genuinely, he knows. Like, this is the time to be alive. This is the time to be doing media. People like Tucker understand that. People like my dad understand that. Nick Fuentes understands that. Many others do, right? It is only the Steven Crowders, the Gavin McGinnis, the Ben Shapiro, the Dave Rubin, the PragerU, Jordan Peterson. Like, it is the old wing. It is the old wing. The Israel First Christian Zionist that co-opted MAGA and tried to make it their own. And they say, oh, hey, we agree on a lot of the same issues. If you support that state over there, you're not on our team, because that's not America First. Simple as. Not complicated, right? Let's go ahead and go to CNN montage of Trump's statements saying that he would not get us into endless wars and his statements on this current war. Let's hear Unc Cap for a little bit here.
The war on aggression will not be my first instinct.
We are ending the era of endless wars.
I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into.
A short time ago, the United States military began major combat operations in Iran.
I think you'll see it's going to be a short-term excursion.
What makes you so sure this won't become a quagmire?
We're not going to be there.
You're convinced this won't become a quagmire?
Year.
It's not a quagmire. Just wiped out the military of a very dangerous country. We're almost finished.
He said we're almost finished 6 weeks ago. And since then, the ceasefire has collapsed, and 3 more Americans have lost their lives.
All right, let's go to clip 6. So this is what it's really about here, clip 6. Just mute it and just have me talk over it, if you would. This is Trump and the rest of the goon squad saluting the coffins that they created, the bodies of the American soldiers, the men and women that are no longer with us. Truly disturbing. And this is what I don't see retweeted enough, reposted enough, shared enough online. I hear people talk about it, and it's a good thing on the interview channels to talk about it. This is harrowing footage for the entire country, because that's you in that box. And if you don't understand that, you're a part of the problem. Or you're somebody that's more concerned about over there, which I would say move to Ukraine and Israel and get the F out of my country. Seriously. That's your brother. That's your sister. That's your dad. That's your mom. That's your cousin. That's your friend. That's your lover. That's your wife. That's you. And if you can't understand that, then you're somebody that they can co-opt into their system. And I have to believe if you can't understand that, you got to be an NPC. Because if you can't appreciate the individuality of human life and that we're all created by God, then, you know, you are just an economic unit. You are just a flesh monster. You are just a creation of these people. Don't be a creation of these people. If you've been swindled genuinely like I was totally bamboozled and fooled and lied to and defrauded by Trump. 110%. We should all be able to sue and get $1 zillion, right? The way he lied to us. But I'm willing to admit that now, and I'm willing to look forward into the future and try to find the truth, trying to find out, hey, what should we actually be doing? And I think the polar opposite of what he's doing right now, the policies that we originally voted for, I think that's a pretty good place to start. So let's show the coffins again. You know, let's show the coffins again, because I know we got people in the audience. Hey, you know, we're going to get Iran. We're going to defeat Iran. It's going to be 5 seconds, you know, just another 5 days or something like that. I know we got people in the audience like that. We can defeat them. It will be easy. See, I can do a bunch of different voices, so I'm not discriminating against any genre of American here. But here's the thing. If you support that, you have a liquid brain, and it should be you inside that box. Go fight and die over there. You know. Or maybe you can be a notifier. You can be a notifier and you can knock on the parent's door and you can tell the parent their child wanted to die so Iran wouldn't have a nuclear weapon. I bet you'll get punched in the face. Seriously. Okay, we'll go to the next thing here, which we have. Oh, we got a whole bunch of Hegseth. You know, actually, hold on. I might want to save that for a little bit later because those are just so extreme. Let's go ahead and start off with this montage of Hegseth. Let's go to clip 9. This is a good one.
Epic Fury decimated Iran's military and rendered it combat ineffective for years to come.
Why?
Iran's navy is at the bottom of the sea.
They would try to impose their will on the waterways in ways that the world would not like. Call it a toll, call it a fee, call it an exchange, call it control. They would do something that they would try to hold it at issue.
Then you've got shrinking American munition stockpiles. Last month, Hegseth was dismissing concerns that it was even an issue. Today, it was a reason the military needs an urgent cash infusion.
There is a crisis with those stockpiles
That is a manufactured story that the media wants to peddle. And ultimately, our stockpiles are great, and they only get stronger.
We face critical shortfalls that threaten our ability to also simply pay our service members, rapidly replenish equipment and munitions, and sustain vital operations without disruption.
But there is one question where Hegseth never seems to waver. And it's this one. Who's to blame for all of this?
The disaster of what the Biden administration budgets gave us. It was not a priority to fund the Department of Defense under Joe Biden. It's a neglect of the Biden administration. I mean, the Biden administration ignored hypersonics. I don't know what Lloyd Austin did for 4 years. Again, that goes back to the Biden administration of divest to invest.
Familiar names. Titles missing. Over
all right,
and over.
That's enough.
But not the
get her off the screen, please. Thank you. All right, so here's what you got to take away from all of that. Those are ready-made campaign ads for the Democrats, not just in the midterms, but in 2028 as well. The damage that these people have done to their own party that they blame us for somehow. Let's get the Trump tweet where he calls out my dad, Candace, Megyn Kelly, and Tucker, if we can. Because they want to blame it on us. They want to say, it's horrible, we're going to lose our country because of people like you. And it's like, no, actually, we're still the same people. It's you guys that flipped. It's you guys that changed. Like, those images of them saluting the coffin, that's going to be everywhere. The video of Trump saying, I don't care about inflation or I like when it goes up. That's actually what he said. It's worse than I remember. Look at this. I know why Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones have all been fighting me for years. You mean just like trying to battle for you, fighting in the gladiator pit? My dad got gutted, got his literal legs chopped off for you metaphysically, lost his 32-year business. 78 employees at the peak, all that totally gone? Wow. Especially by the fact they think it is wonderful for Iran, the number one state sponsor of terrorism, to have a nuclear weapon because they have one thing in common, low IQs. No, you're the dumb one. You're the dumb one because you don't realize you had the potential to have the greatest life on earth. You have the potential for them to truly want to build gold statues of you, man. But you're not capable of doing the George Washington, Obi-Wan Kenobi thing where you step down and you say, hey, maybe I don't know everything. Trump is the absolute opposite of my dad's I'm kind of retarded saying, which in it has a lot of wisdom and truth. And that goes back to Socrates. I know that I know nothing. Trump is the definition of a know-it-all. And the hardest thing about a know-it-all is when you try to teach someone something that knows everything, they already got a whole preconceived world. And if you say what you say doesn't fit in their world, it's like you're trying to apply, I don't know, like non-Newtonian physics or like advanced calculus or something. They just can't get it. And I think at a certain point, when you're 80 years old, yeah, thank you, keep showing these. When you're 80 years old, when you're the president of the United States, when you're blackmailed, compromised, confused, whatever you want to say, I think at a certain point, you just kind of let go mentally. And he's on total autopilot. The president of the United States of America is on total autopilot, and he's trying to genocide a whole bunch of people right now. It's easy, he says. Tucker is a low IQ person, always easy to beat and highly overrated. I thought he was your best friend for years. So you really switch up on your day ones like that? That's not cool, Unc. So are Megyn Kelly, Candace, and bankrupt Alex Jones, who is completely fried. Oh, you mean we got killed in the court of public opinion for helping get you elected? You know, we got banned before any damn lawsuit. Okay, maybe Chobani or whatever. That doesn't count. That wasn't the reason why we were banned. We were banned because my dad went to the halls of Congress after Oliver Darcy testified against him, trying to get him deplatformed off the internet. Imagine whatever job you work. If somebody went to Congress and said, hey, we don't want that guy doing that job anymore, take it away from him. In fact, you know, take his licensing away from him so he can't do it anymore. That's literally what Oliver Darcy was doing. You know what my dad's quote is? You look like a possum, Oliver Darcy, that crawled out of the rear end of a cow, in my view. Now, we see worse than that every 5 seconds on social media all the time, but you have to understand, back in the day, it was a different world. And during that different world, this was a very prominent case, and Trump even commented on it. You know what he said? As long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. And he was banned shortly later, and he still couldn't learn his lesson. I don't know how much more I can say. You know, before I just throw this table over and smash that camera because it makes me so mad. The entire future, you know, the future I thought about growing up, what it would be, you know, in a weird way, I never thought I would get InfoWars, you know, because it was my father's thing. I wanted to do my own project. But growing up, imagine how weird it is for everyone to tell you, like, Simba, one day this will all be yours, and then for them to take it away. So I have a right to be upset, as do you too, because they didn't just do that to us. They did that to you sitting at home. They're afraid of an independent model of somebody that's not in their system that can generate enough energy to be a legitimate competitive threat to them. That's why we were taken out. That's why Trump was originally taken out. And then he was co-opted and bought into the new system. And now you get them cutting campaign ads for the Democrats and then guilt tripping us about, oh, got to show up for the midterms, for the SAVE Act, for the dirt, collar blue, neck red, working hard, keep family fed. There's nothing really we can do but speak the truth and wait for 2028 and hope that we have one of these amazing dark horse candidates rise up that we can get behind. I do truly believe in some of these people, but it's going to be a proving process. It's going to be extreme. It's going to be a crucible. And, you know, I think the country is ready. You know, people talk a lot about the apathy that people have and they view it in some sort of like negative context. That emotion is a lot closer to hatred than it is of tolerance and love. So I think we're walking a real dangerous line right now with politicians that think that they can kill Americans and possibly reinstitute a draft thousands of miles away. We have Americans dying in the Middle East that weren't even born when 9/11 happened. Think about that. My MIGAs out there in the audience, think about that. Real MIGA roll call. I'll see you on the next segment. Peace.
Fight for our sovereignty, which to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
The other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Into it, guys. The War Room. We're coming up on the interview with Suleiman Ahmed. We're looking forward to that. The only Western journalist to be present for the entire funeral procession in Iran. Also incredible interviews as well. We got that time stamped out, and we're going to be playing, pausing that, analyzing it with him. But I want to go to this. It's another one of the excellent, and I say that sarcastically, terrible propaganda tweets from one Eric Dortry. Breaking. President Trump just posted that he has ordered U.S. CENTCOM, Central Command, to, quote-unquote, open the gates of hell on Iran after American troops were killed. 47 posted this right after attending. You think it was dignified? I guess that's the technical transfer for it. I thought it was an undignified transfer because they murdered their asses. Of four fallen American heroes. What are their names? Names are Tyler. Name is Sarah. I think it's with an H. Forgive me if it's not. Angel. And then who is the other gentleman that died? Michael, I believe was his name. I want to double, triple check that, confirm that. All dead, all murdered for Israel. not for the U.S., not to ensure Iran could not have a nuclear weapon, not even to, quote unquote, open the strait, because we know we can't open the strait. When Trump says decimated, I think he's about right. He should look up what that word means. It means destroying 10%. Maybe we destroyed 10% of the military, right? But those people died for literally nothing other than Israel. You can't point to any other cause. You can point to Netanyahu saying Iran must never have a nuclear weapon for 35 years. Look at this. And this is what we have running the government right now. They're all kind of like this, Democrat and Republican. Now, I'll show that you that clip later, that guy who's just as bad as Hegseth and doesn't even know it. Look at this. Holden Bloodfeast.
118 years old. Please, God, just let us nuke Iran. Nothing else matters. I'll do anything. Please, I just want to see burning flesh one last time before I die.
Respectable bipartisan. Of course, it's always a respectable bipartisan. This is such a perfect transition. I have to find it now. I got to crawl through my documents. I got to find it. It's Hegseth, and it's him being interviewed by the Holden Bloodfeast character. I got to find it right here. Dang it. Where did I put it? This is why I'm still learning, guys. We'll find that later. I want to go back to Hegseth. Let's go to clip 7. Hegseth's excuses aren't working.
You were completely aware that the Strait of Hormuz could be closed, and obviously sinking their ships has not affected their ability to effectively close the straits.
We had U.S. boats that surrendered to Iranian ships under the Biden administration. So their Navy was effective in expeditionary ways.
We're talking about a war you started, not a situation in which oil was flowing freely. There was no conflict. We weren't losing personnel as a result of Iranian actions. So your fallback to the Biden administration is just a very, very obvious excuse for what I think is probably, as you described so often, gross negligence. You did not fully inform the president that you would be in a situation where the Strait of Hormuz could be effectively closed, oil prices could surge, and effectively, the Iranians could maintain their ability to strike back as they are right now. They just killed some of our servicemen last weekend.
Well, I don't know about all that. I think Unk is lying there as well. I think it's Unk on Unk violence when it comes to this. Hegseth didn't inform Trump that they would close the strait. I thought that everyone informed Trump that they were going to close the strait, and Trump didn't listen to him. You know, I'm willing to bet basically most things but my life on that. I'm pretty sure they knew exactly what was going to go down, but they thought that killing the people would work, because keep in mind, this has been and always will be a regime change war. The Hegseth clip, if y'all type in Hegseth bipartisan, or like, he's like, you're not giving our troops what they need to win. You're not giving them leadership, Pete. If y'all can find that, just look for it a little bit. I'm sure I'll be able to pull it up. The attitude that both sides have, the quote unquote respectable bipartisans, about, you know, this is some sort of managed conflict that, you know, they talk about it. This is a shaping operation. We have to engage here and pull back. It's a tit for tat battle. There's no such thing as tit for tat. It's murder for murder, full war, total war. One of the cool things about being here, I'll say working here now too, it's they're going to pay me a little bit to do shows. The cool thing about working here, now I can say that very, very cool, is that I get to hear cool conversations like between Michael Yon and my father. And what Michael Yon was discussing today was the total famine that's coming very, very soon for everybody, and the fact that he really believes a draft will be implemented. Now, at the beginning of this war, at this conflict, I predicted ground invasion, boots on the ground in Iran. Now, people in spaces debated me, kind of clowned me a little bit. I think that I'm being proven right over time, and I want to be wrong. It's not a thing about wanting to be right. You don't want the predictive power. The predictive power is horrible. It is terrible. It's like one of the worst powers you can have. It's horrible for you as well, because you just think about like the worst scenarios 24/7. Really bad for your mind. But sometimes we have to tell people the truth, even if it's painful, even if it hurts us and hurts them, because we have to wake up. It's a difference between hurting and dying. It's a difference between suffering and being killed, because this system is hostile to our lives. And you can say, oh, well, you know, gas is more expensive, but it is what it is. I got the promotion at work, I guess. My wife got a second job. It is what it is, whatever it is. Everything will be all right. And then one day you go to the grocery store and there's no food. And then one day you go to the gas station and there's no gas. And then one day you turn on the TV and Trump says there's a new virus. And then we're developing another shot, Operation Warp Speed 2.0. And that's not like a crazy libtard fantasy. That's pretty close to, you know, a possible future I could see unfolding. one of potential thousands that I think about, right? So, like, are you safe and comfy with that? Or are you watching videos of Scott Pressler dancing around in boots saying, hey, you gotta go out there and save the vote. Gotta pass the SAVE Act. Gotta get out there in the midterms. All the while, these same people are promoting politicians that literally might as well wear bibs covered in blood because that's what they do. Like, they drink American lives and they invest in the stock market, prediction markets, things that should be illegal on their face. Like, think about that. Insider trading is so bad. It's insider government. That's what it's become. We've become a corporate captured entity here at home with our domestic military industrial complex and other industries, big pharma, big ag, you name it. And then now, like, that is an evil husband. We're going to marry that to the evil bride of Israel, Izrul, right? We're going to do the NDAA in Section 219. They changed it from 224. Section 612 merges CIA, Mossad, basically. Section 219 merges our military with Israel. They get an executive agent. They get a guy that's a Pete Hegseth equivalent, essentially a secondary Department of War, Department of Defense head, who's higher than everyone else at DOD. You can read the document for yourself. I'm not making this up. Higher than everyone else at DOD and does not answer to Congress, only answers to the executive branch and the president. Well, executive branch Hegseth, the DOW, and then Trump. There to be in ascendancy in all elements of our military. And this is why this is the time. This is life and death, people. This is everything. This is the future. This is our future being flushed down the drain because Americans are apathetic and don't care enough about it. You got to be talking to 10 people a day about this because I got a bad news for you. It's going to get passed. Trump is going to sign that like the orange horny toad that he is. He's going to sit in there on his big rock with the heat lamp on. Netanyahu's going to turn the heat lamp on and then Trump's going to croak and he's going to sign the document. So our military is about to be co-opted and taken over by essentially, it's like a hooker that we used to pay that we've now signed a reverse prenup with that now owns us and the house. And then it's better for us somehow. I'll go back to the classic Netanyahu line.
Well, I think it's great that you give me $3 billion a year because I use that money to buy American munitions. Blah, blah, blah. Be Netanyahu, I do genocide all day. But we don't need that anymore. We're going to have a new arrangement.
And the new arrangement is they just own all our stuff by nature of it being passed into our law, right? Think about that. Think about a nation that has the highest threat level, according to, I believe it's our DIA that released the assessment, that is going to be in ascendancy in all aspects of our military. That's called an occupied nation. That's called an occupied government. And that's why we are the same as the Palestinians. Do you not understand? They have had everything taken from them but their dignity. We have had everything remain with us but our dignity. And that is the true tragedy. You have to understand this is a program. This has been done to you. We've all been propagandized. We've all been abused. We've all been lied to. You name it. That is just the system we are in. It is oppressive. It oppresses us. It oppresses you to keep your world small. And once your world starts to get bigger, and once you start to look outside of what's being done to your future, what's being done to your home, what's being done to your family, and you want to do something about it, it's too late. But the hour has not yet come where it is too late. We still have time. We'll make hay while the sun is shining, as they say in the South, and we're going to work hard. We're going to inform more people because this is an information warfare. This is what this is. Okay. And that's up to you too. Every single one of you people. I don't want to do like a Nick Fuentes related show or anything, but I saw him talk about this one time. He says, leave the broadcasting to the truly talented. I totally disagree. Everyone is talented. Everyone can, could, and should do this. In some aspect, whether you're a writer, whether you're a podcaster, whether you're helping somebody else with the show, whatever you can do to be involved, just waking people up, being informed, being engaged, doing the required reading as well. Lord knows I need to do more of that. And that's what my dad says about it always being fun to be informed. Because imagine being somebody that believes in the clips that I just showed you. Of course, you'd never be them because you've been watching this war since the beginning, since Trump promised it wouldn't happen. So you're aware, you're alert, you're awake to the hypocrisy. But imagine somebody whose world is so small, they don't even realize it. It's the Truman Show. And there's plenty of that going on right now in America, but I do have hope for the future of the country. And it just requires us having a steely gaze and walking forward into 2028 and really considering 2026 to be an atonement period, you know? Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. I voted for Ted Cruz in 2024. I didn't want to say that. Damn. It's like coming out of the closet or something. I voted for Ted Cruz in 2024 against Colin Allred, right? I did that because, oh, Teddy Cruz, he ain't going to take my guns, right? I'm going to go buy an AR-15. He's not going to touch that. Well, I mean, he's handing my whole country over to Israel, so why the hell does it matter? And I'm sure the other guy, Colin Allred, the same type of thing too, right? And I'm sure Tallarico, the same type of thing too. Whatever. That's not my point. My point is, where are my options? What, as a 23-year-old, about to be 24, what are my options for future advancement? I work really hard. I'm a supplement white labeler, manufacturer, e-commerce guy, everything. I make the pre-workout that Owen Schroyer sells now, Crash Out Energy. Like, literally. Like, this is what I do, and I've been doing it for 5 years. And I'm in an environment where I needed the consumer to be robust so that we can have the 360 win, and I can actually perpetuate a growing economy. But they don't care about me because I'm an American manufacturer. If I was an Israeli manufacturer, a Chinese one, an Indian one, or whatever, right? Oh, they'd care because they could cut a foreign deal and make money off griffing off the supremacy of the dollar. But because it's an American business, we don't ever get help. Instead, you know what we get? You know what we get as American business people? We get inflation. We get destroyed consumer sentiment. We get volatile markets to where credit goes up and it's more expensive to borrow money. That's what we get as business people. What do you get as a family man, a family lady out there? More expensive food, more expensive travel, more expensive vacation, more expensive summer camp. Everything. The price of the brick is going up for human beings across the world, not just here. And we are lucky enough and spoiled enough for it maybe to just be like a really bad depression. Tens, if not 100 million people will die. So I've got more heck, Seth. I don't want to get distracted here. Let's go to him being called out. And I want to illustrate this. And here's the thing. Not every time when someone does this, is it the fool's sip? But this is like, I don't know what I call it. This is a idiosyncrasy. No, it's a body language cue or whatever. Yeah, it's a body language cue. When somebody is under pressure in a speaking or presentation concept or context where they have to present information or stick to their frame or their story, oftentimes when pressured in a debate or something like this, you'll see them as a buffering moment take a prolonged sip. I'm going to do an example of it. I'm Pete Hegseth. I got people standing up around me saying, you kill elementary schoolers. You're evil. I know it's true. Oh my gosh. I got to get more liquor. Oh my gosh. But it's just water. And a lot of time you'll notice like the deadpan stare out front or looking down into the cup. I want to illustrate this and show you the fool sip. Let's go to clip number 10. If we have it.
$1.5
trillion. Stop bombing our children in Iran and Palestine. This is illegal.
Mr. Secretary, please suspend until order is restored in the hearing room. We will begin the timing clock. Since you've been interrupted twice.
I guess I put the wrong video in there. Look, just look up Hegseth drinks or Hegseth sips and you'll see it. It was big today. I think I even retweeted something about it. The point is it can't feel good to sit in there and know that you're totally cooked and also that you're a war criminal and also that you killed little kids, right? It can't feel good, but he will take the pain for his dear leader. He is a good and faithful servant of evil. Like seriously, him and Trump, that's, old Petey Boy is probably Trump's most loyal draft pick. That's probably a guy that'd be with you thick and thin, because it's like a henchman to the Penguin. Hey, boss, we're gonna get in trouble for all this one day. You know, we did all the war crimes and killed all the children. You know, I definitely took too much test. You know, it made me do a couple of things. It's all right, Pete. It's okay. We're two peas in a pod. Petey Hegseth and Donald Trump, war criminals, killers. We're both killers, murderers, aren't we, Pete? Absolutely proud of it, sir. Like that's pretty much where we are. Damn, I wanted to show the clip of him drinking out of the water. If we can find that, but I also got clip number 11 and clip number 12. Let's try to find that. Let's go to clip number 11, which is just another example of like the media insanity. They're talking about a 20-year war. Go ahead and play it.
How much longer do you expect this to go on? And do you think munitions should be a limitation at this point? What do you hear?
No, I don't think, the Pentagon has done a great job of restocking the munitions. I don't think that's an issue at all.
Lie.
But I do expect that we're going to be there a long time. You know, Operation Northern Southern Watch went on for, almost 20 years, I think. So I think this is going to be something similar. We're going to have to stay there. Those guys aren't going to change their behavior. We have to adapt. And I think, we're going to have to get the Gulf states and those that rely on the oil coming from the Gulf states to help pay for this.
drop him on Iran. You know, maybe he's a veteran or whatever. You know, he's an old man now. He's not going to go fight. Other people are. Hey, you know, there's plenty of people that are old in the French Foreign Legion fighting in Ukraine. It's time for you to boot up. It's time for you to go get Fortnite dropped on Tehran with real guns. So let's go ahead and throw the Pete Hegseth clip up. If we do have it, I want to illustrate the fool sip for you. This is a classic psychological phenomena. Happens a lot in presentation, debate, speech in general. People that, oh God, I don't want to sound like Dinesh D'Souza.
People that are wordsmiths.
People that speak for a living, whatever. If they get in a debate and they get body, look at this. The fool sip. Classic. Look at the distraction and the loss in his eyes. We'll replay that. He's going to take the full sip again. Look at that. He looks down at the cup again. He's like Dave Blunt's. I can't put down the cup. I can't put down the cup. But he has an alcohol problem, not a lean problem. If we can just replay that at the beginning there. Because he really, really is everything that Trump would want. You know, Trump likes to say, like, my best people are made for central casting. Oh, look at this person. Look at this guy. Well, that's a character in a show that knows that he's cooked, right? Literally. He's like a TV character or something. He's like Truman from Truman Show. So that's where we are with that. Don't want to spend too long on that. Let's go ahead and go into the full montage of him, which is clip number 12, but we still have time in this segment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you all for your testimony. And General Kane, let me just begin by expressing on behalf of all Georgians our immense gratitude and admiration for the service members who are making tremendous sacrifices and conducting themselves with extraordinary selflessness and professionalism on behalf of the United States and our state's unified condolences and grief for the families of the...
Just pause it. I'm sorry. Like, why do we have to be fake and gay all the time? Like, can I say faggot on here? Like, why does he have to be a faggot about it? Like, seriously, like, we're at a point now where it's infinite free political capital for the first person that crashes out about all this stuff because they're justified. And why isn't anybody crashing out about it? We have to thank, you know, the dignified process of our soldiers and our troops. And I get that that's respectful, and I get that that's protocol, and I get that that's what you do, quote unquote. But what you do is not what we've been doing. So it's not time to try to breathe water underwater. That's what this is. Trying to treat this like it's any kind of a normal, legitimate process. This is a clown show, a kangaroo court. Go ahead and play it.
Action and our hope for a swift recovery for the nearly 100 wounded over the last 2 weeks. And thank you to you for your service to the nation. Mr. Hegseth, you're requesting roughly $68 billion for the department through the supplemental, correct?
67, yes.
67.
And yesterday, your department stated publicly, quote, U.S. forces struck Iranian military command centers, maritime capabilities, missile and drone launch sites, and air defense systems to degrade Iran's ability to continue attacking commercial vessels. That was a press release from your department. Is that a broadly accurate characterization of ongoing operations?
That sounds broadly accurate, yes.
On day 14 of this conflict, Mr. Secretary, day 14, nearly 5 months ago, you stated that Iran's military had been, quote, destroyed and, quote, made combat ineffective. That was on day 14 of the war. Was that an accurate statement?
They didn't have a navy any longer. It's completely sunk. Their missiles were buried underneath a lot of their underground facilities, and their defense industrial base has been almost completely destroyed. So as far as a military assessment of Iran's capabilities, it didn't mean by any stretch of the imagination absolute zero, but their capabilities
at the lowest
level they've been in a very long time. Mr. Secretary, you stated
that on day 14 of this conflict, in the second week of the conflict, you stated that Iran's military had been, quote, destroyed and, quote, made combat ineffective. Was that an accurate statement?
Can I get another copy of the rundown stapled together?
Iran's ability to challenge the United States of America at the level at which we're capable of.
That's not what I asked you, Mr. Secretary. You said on day 14, Iran's military had been, quote, destroyed and, quote, made combat ineffective. Yes or no? Was that an accurate statement?
What the American military has done to the Iranian military is a historic military defeat.
Will you answer the question
under oath? And they're ineffective in that context.
3 weeks later, you declared victory. That was now nearly 4 months ago. 3 weeks after you'd already said Iran's military was destroyed and combat ineffective, you said, quote, Operation Epic Fury was a historic and overwhelming victory. You said Iran's military had been rendered, quote, combat ineffective for years to come. And you stated we had, quote, achieved every single objective. Were those accurate statements?
It certainly was, on behalf of the men and women in uniform, a historic military victory over Iran.
Had Iran's military been rendered, quote, combat ineffective for years to come? That was a statement that you made 4 months ago.
They had 160 naval vessels in the Blue Water Navy, and they're gone. You need to answer the questions, Mr. Secretary. Their Air Force is completely combat ineffective, and they don't have a defense industrial base.
Excuse me,
describe to me a country that doesn't have an Air Force, a Navy, or a defense industrial base.
Getting a power
to describe to you a country that does not have an effective military. It can lob missiles.
Mr. Secretary, you stated 4 months ago that Iran's military had been rendered, quote, combat ineffective for years to come. Has Iran's military been, for the last 4 months, combat ineffective?
It's been set back not just years, but likely decades.
You stated we had, quote,
at the level it did before, and not even close. It doesn't mean it doesn't have capabilities.
Mr. Secretary, you stated we had, quote, achieved every single objective. Was that an accurate statement 4 months ago?
The main objective of this was to ensure that Iran never gets a nuclear weapon. Their main sites were obliterated. We're watching over them, and we're holding that issue. If they don't give them up at the table, there's other ways we can take
early
them away.
In the conflict
Iran
on
will
day
never
three,
have a nuclear
Mr.
weapon.
Mr. Secretary, early in the conflict, day three, you said one of those core objectives was to, quote, destroy the missile threat. And as you restated on day five, to, quote, obliterate Iran's missiles and drones. Those were clearly and repeatedly stated core objectives of the campaign, which 4 months ago you declared had been completed victoriously with every single objective achieved. Were those objectives achieved 4 months ago?
No one ever stated that every single missile was gone. Ultimately, combat ineffective means they're not able to dig them out
Pause
of their UGFs and shoot.
We said they had no air defense, playa. So it doesn't matter. We're coming back next segment, next hour, with the man to talk about this stuff with, Suleiman Ahmed, respected international journalist, the only Western journalist to be in every city for the world's largest funeral procession in human history, of course, for now deceased Ayatollah Khamenei. We'll be covering all of that when we come back. I do want to tell you real quick, don't be like Pete Hegseth. Go to alexjonesstore.com and get high-quality Patriot gear, supplements, and all the things that you need. You know, don't focus on giving your war to a, or giving your money to a foreign government so they can fight another war in the Middle East. Focus on funding independent broadcasters and networks that you need to be supporting right now. Go to thealexjonesstore.com for all those phenomenal offers, apparel, supplements, water filtration, shower heads, you name it, and more. We got it available for you.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such a the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I was trying to help him win. I was giving him what I thought were very clear, like, path forward of objective things he could do to convince Americans that he was focused on their desperate needs. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like he was that engaged. And his other meeting, like the one after me, was like rich people trying to give him statues and stuff. And he was talking about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. And it's just like he wasn't engaging in the fight. Like, I don't think he had the fight. And listen, I don't think I would personally be able to go through the things that Donald Trump went through. They put him through so much, you know, like all the convictions and all the attacks.
Well, let me interrupt again because you're so on target. Again, you're on the show last June or whatever. You say you're in an emergency situation. Everyone's turning on you. Change course now. He could have done it. The vice president sees it, calls you up there, 3-hour meeting. He shows up for part of it. You lay it out. He's like, oh, I got to go be given gold statues and talk about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. You're literally brought in as an intervention to like convince him, because they know you're the top pollster. And, I mean, again, we're not, it's like exactly, I'm done helping him because it doesn't do anything. I mean, I remember telling him when he was president-elect 10 years ago, sir, Fiona Hill is on the board of George Soros' foundation. This general is on it. They are your enemies.
How can we be, you know, the most powerful country in the world, and it's not safe to walk around our cities? What the hell is going on?
George Soros!
Yeah. I mean, Soros, honestly, misanthropic. You know, he's for someone who has, sort of claims to be doing good, but actually he is not, you know. He is tearing down the fabric of society. So, terrible.
Obama signed the defense authorization, you know, NDAA, with $2 billion with stay-behind networks. What's that? They put their people in to counter and undermine you. Here's the legislation.
What is the legal theory behind the grand conspiracy, and is it viable in the federal courts?
I think there's a good chance that you're talking about a deprivation of civil rights under 18 U.S. Code 242. Ironically, perhaps, you could argue that there's a conspiracy to defraud the United States, which was a lead charge that Jack Smith used for January 6th.
And he's like, oh, Alex, you're so great. Let me talk to your wife. I mean, seriously, God, your husband's incredible. You know how great he is? I mean, like 10 minutes, she's got him on speaker glazing me because that's his currency, and he does that. They glaze each other. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be glazed. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. People ask like, oh, you're mad he called you low IQ. No, I stopped. They used to call and say, he's going to call you in a few hours, and you wait by the phone. Will you take a call from the president? I got where I wouldn't even care, because literally it's a robot machine kissing your ass to manipulate you.
I was getting hundreds of direct messages from 3-time Trump voters who were literally burning all their Trump hats and 55-gallon drums out back. Like, that's where we were because of all the overt, like, antagonization that he was taking out on his original base at the time. Like, that was the backdrop of my trip. And I don't want to be mean to the staff again, because, like, they were listening very closely, and JD, you know, wanted Trump to hear my message, and Susie was listening and taking notes, and they wanted to learn from me. But it's like, what I didn't see was when you go into a major corporation and it's like, this company has a vision. Somebody laid out a mission, and I bet you they know what their quarterly goals are. And I bet you if you look, somebody's keeping track of how all the meetings tie back to strategic initiatives.
And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November.
Well, Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war.
I got kind of mouthy, and I was like, you know what? You know, Americans don't like oligarchy. They think that's what the problem is. And a lot of the people you're surrounding yourself make you look like an oligarch. And so you should smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy.
You said that. You said it on the show and after. A parade of Larry Ellison saying we're going to control you with AI ain't good, sir.
Yeah. It's bad. Like, when you bring Mark Zuckerberg, who stole your election, into the White House the very first week of your inauguration, like, that is not a good look.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
All right, we got a special show for you guys today. We got a special show. We got the man on the ground, Suleiman Ahmed, who is the only Western journalist to be in Iran for the entirety of the largest funeral procession ever in human history for the now deceased Ayatollah Khamenei. This is Suleiman Ahmed, and I do have to say, if you're looking for a good news source 24/7, he's always doing lives, always doing streams. Moral Resistance is just like, you know, you got your Glenn Deason, got your Judge Knapp, you got your Daniel Davis deep dive, and then he got you and a few other channels as well that I would put in that high regard. Really, the future of news right now, because of the speed and developing scale of these conflicts, you have to do a show literally multiple times a day, or else there's too much to cover. Like, literally, Suleiman, I'm sitting in here, and my dad, all right, there's like a rainforest in front of me. There's like 300 articles, 300 pages, because we print things out here. And I'm looking at what I had for today's show. I had 50 clips, but I wanted to focus today with you on, number one, the funeral procession, what that was like, what Iran is really like as a country, because a lot of people have it twisted, misconstrued. They don't understand that it's the size of Western Europe and very modern and developed, that we should not be messing with these people, and certainly shouldn't be trying to kill little kids over there. And people just, they don't know the truth about that. So I want to cover that. I want to cover the NDAA. I want to cover Lavrov and the expansive conflict. But Suleiman, how are you doing, and how was Iran?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Yes, myself and Chris were the only journalists who went to all the different locations within Iran. And look, Iran is totally different to what you expect. For example, myself, I expected the country to be really in a bad situation because of the brutal sanctions that have been placed on it. You look at Venezuela, you look at Cuba, things aren't great in those countries. And I found it to be totally different in Iran. People are doing well. There is a lot of abundance. There's abundance of food, abundance of technology, abundance of, the ability to move around and various other things. So it's totally the opposite of what you expected. You go to the underground, there's air conditioning there. It's free. It was free during the funeral procession.
Right.
You go to, for example, the elevators, and they're working, which we don't always have in the US and the UK. So it's just a very well-run country, and it's just surprising that it's a sanctioned country, but it doesn't seem like that when you're on the ground.
Right. I think this is interesting because the United States kind of does gain of function research on nations. Like, look at Russia as an example. Now look at Iran. These are nations that have had to deal with, you know, Lindsey Graham bragged about like the 21st sanctions package or whatever it was for Russia as an example. And all that makes you do is just develop yourself. And ultimately, it leaves the U.S. out of having a relationship with that country. I think it's key for people to understand that by killing the Ayatollah, it's not a one-to-one comparison, and I'm not a Muslim, so I don't want to say anything about it, really. But killing the Ayatollah is equivalent to killing the Pope, you know, to a large portion of people. And when you do that, even more so when it's the Pope that banned the nuclear weapon in like 2003, 2004, it creates this reaction through the population where, you know, it's hard to believe in America. You know, you've been propagandized so much, and there's people in the audience that are scoffing right now. But the Ayatollah was a moderate, and we killed him. So now I just want you to talk about that a little bit. about the impact of, like, how do these people feel about losing that figure?
That's a great point. He was very moderate. And funny enough, you know, in the West, they've been given this idea, or they've been presenting this position that, guess what, the leadership, Ayatollah Khamenei and his son, Mujtaba Khamenei, and the leadership as like some kind of radicals. And they basically are forcing the public into a war, or forcing the public into the scenario that we're seeing, or forcing the public into a situation where they don't want to normalize with America. And it's actually the other way around. When I went on the streets of Iran, it's the people who want revenge. It's the people who want justice. They've seen their supreme leader. As you said, it's the equivalent of the Pope being killed. They saw the children of Minar being murdered. They've seen all this civilian infrastructure being murdered. And they want justice and they want revenge. And you have the leadership who basically wants to try and negotiate, want to try and keep the channels open for negotiation. And so the people are pressuring the government to basically respond to the aggression of the United States of America, which is totally opposite to what's being relayed and what's being claimed. And what's interesting about the entire situation is you basically have it where in reality, these people, they just want peace. But what's being forced upon them is war, and therefore they're responding. And so when I went on the ground in Iran, the biggest, most obvious thing that I saw was there was more red flags than there were the flags of Iran. There were more red flags than there were flags of the resistance, because the red flags symbolized resistance, it symbolized justice, and they symbolized revenge. And they wanted revenge. And this is why we had the statement come out from the Supreme Leader, Mujtaba Khamenei, who relayed the views of the people to say that, look, we want revenge for the actions and the illegal killing of our innocent civilians.
Okay, speaking of that, I want to go to, I believe this is Arachi, the Iranian foreign minister, the latest tweet. I have that under the interview section of the rundown. More statements are being made. We're going to get into Massey and Rokana being blocked from voting on the NDAA, as well as your interview with the, who was your interview with, the spokesperson for the foreign ministry?
Yeah, he's the foreign ministry spokesperson. He's probably one of the highest ranking people who can speak English, and you see him on airwaves all the time speaking. And so, yeah, it was an honor and a privilege to interview him. I was one of the only 800 journalists who got that privilege while I was in Iran.
And this is one of those things, as we pull up the latest tweet from Arachi, guys, if we can do that, I want to make this very clear to the audience. When you're not shown stuff like this from the mainstream media in the West, that's them lying to you, right? You going over there, Suleiman, you can say, oh, they're biased. It's their country. You're damn right they're biased in the same way that we are, right? But it's them talking. And if you don't hear the other side, that's for a reason. They want to control you and co-opt you into a war that cannot be won. And the thing that I take away from the Iranian position is their very stark acknowledgement of reality. It's that interview that Arachi did where he's sitting there smiling, going, do you know what it's like to go into a meeting where everyone in the meeting knows they're probably going to die? As in, you know, being hit by Israel or something with a missile, or by the United States. Like that mindset, understand that mindset is completely alien to people in the domestic United States right now. And I think that's why the funeral, of course, record breaking, was such a phenomenon. Can we throw the latest tweet up there really quick from Arachi? I'll read it. Or not that one. That's the interview. We're going to go to that in a second. It's underneath Trump Saudi nuclear deal. If we have that, that's the fourth link above clip number 17. But we can go ahead and get into the interview pretty soon. If we're ready to do that, we can go ahead and play those clips if we already have that up. Thank you.
Sure. The safe passage of ships.
Do you think that, because I've been trying to understand what is the reasoning why they did that, because they were finally getting free flow of the traffic. Is the reason because they wanted to try and take control of the strait? Do you think it was they were trying to militarize it? I know it's hard to speculate, but what do you think the motive could be behind what they were trying to do?
You see, Strait of Hormuz has two coastal states. It is Iran and Oman. During the war that they started on 28 February, they abused these waterway for their military aggression against Iran. And at the same time, they used the southern part of the Strait of Hormuz, their military bases in the countries of the Persian Gulf, to facilitate and to conduct their military aggression against Iran. And we as a coastal state, we are authorized, we are entitled under international law to adopt necessary measures in order to make sure that this waterway would not be abused by the aggressors to attack Iran, to harm our national security. And that's why, in the first place, we decided to put certain measures to limit the passage of ships. And after all, you couldn't really risk passing through this waterway while there were military attacks against Iran. So we did it out of our responsible approach towards navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. The Americans conceded as part of this MOU that the future administration of this waterway would be done by Iran in consultation with another coastal state, which is Oman, and in discussion with other countries of the region. And that was going very well until they decided to impose their control over the strait.
All right, let's pause it here.
As I say,
all right, so this is key to understand. I'm going to read the Arachi tweet as well really quick. Our defense doctrine is clear, eye for an eye. Any aggression against Iran, including our infrastructure, will compel a powerful and decisive response. Those who contribute to such aggression, whatever the type of support, will also be considered as legitimate targets. See, it's a response. That's the key. And then America treats the response as an initial action and then tells the public that it's the initial action. We reviewed the MOU very carefully. I think I did it with Aguilar as well, Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel. And it's very clear. Paragraph 1, no war in Lebanon. Violated that. Paragraph 5, Iran controls traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. They violated that. Paragraph 9, with the waiver of the or the waiver on the tariffs and situation, they violated that as well. So, Suleiman, what would you like the American public to understand about the situation?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, what you're saying is extremely accurate. The Iranian position is this. Look, the Iranian position is that they want to have a dialogue.
Right.
They want to have peace. They want to have negotiations, even if the public doesn't fully agree with that position. But then they're saying that basically, if you attack us, we are going to defend ourselves. And so you just read the tweet of Abbas Araghchi. And what does that mean? It's because Trump today threatened to attack Iran's energy infrastructure, attack Iran's power plants and nuclear facilities. And so they put out a statement. They put out an infographic of what they will be targeting in response. And this is the key point. Everything they do is in response. And so they've said they'll be targeting the Al-Dalawi power plant in the UAE. They'll be targeting the Diwa power plant in Dubai. They'll be targeting the Riyadh power plant in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
And the Qatari, Ras Laffan Qatari power plant. So they've told you what they're going to be targeting, and that will be and that is going to be the response. The issue you got with the United States of America is they had an MOU. They had a deal. The deal was there. As you heard the foreign minister Spock say, there was a deal. The MOU said Iran to have the enrichments, and then within 30 days, they were controlling the Strait of Hormuz, and then they would negotiate during that period with Oman and with the other Gulf states. And he said, we were doing that as well. We were ready to move on to the next 30 days. And what did the U.S. do? They just cannot basically abide by a deal. You mentioned Lavrov in your introduction. Lavrov
agreement incapable. Agreement incapable.
Exactly.
Yep. Talk exactly. About that a
That's
little
what
bit.
They said. That's what he said. And this is, again, another demonstration of the fact that they are deal incapable. Like, they right. just cannot honor any agreement. And what we're seeing is, previously when they didn't honor agreements, it was like the other side will say, oh, why aren't you honoring the agreement? But this time they're dealing with Iran. Iran is causing a huge amount of devastation on the U.S. assets in the Middle East, systematically, methodically, destroying all the radar systems in the Gulf states, in the Middle East. Those countries were essentially the defense force for Israel. They were essentially radars letting Israel know when missiles were going to come their way. Israel's now vulnerable. Israel is ready to be decimated. And now this is why you see Smotrich yesterday saying what? He said, oh, we may not even enter this war.
It's ideal. It's ideal. That's what he said. He said it was the ideal situation because they don't have to fight. We fight and die. And I started the show off today with a Rabbi Shmuley quote tweet, of course, the gremlin, we don't like him, quote tweeting the dead soldier Michael that we just lost here in America, saying, like, America will avenge you. It's never Israel. It's never Israel in the war that they start. It's always America, America, America. But I don't need to remind you, to the audience out there, I say it basically every show, I'm quoting Marco Rubio now, Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation, so we had to join in. It was only going to be for a short period, 24, 48 hours, paraphrasing in there. But that's literally what this is. They died for Israel. And anyone that tells you the opposite, anyone that tells you, oh, you know, this is a brave, noble sacrifice, no, it's not. It's rape and murder of our country and our countrymen and women. That's seriously what this is. And if you don't talk about it in those grave, rational terms, then you're not a serious actor in all this. Like, you're trying, hey, it's time to be moderate, just bring troops home, it is what it is. That's not the time. Okay, time for that was before all this started. Suleiman, when you see the Iranian people and their reaction, there's a lot of talk here in the U.S., some would call it fear-mongering, of, well, you know, the Iranians are going to lash out against the American people, the American population. The Iranians are going to use the space program to launch an ICBM nuke, which they don't have, at America, all this type of propaganda. But the American people, they need to understand the reality of the situation. How do people in Iran feel about Americans, just in general, the average population?
It's a great question. And in the same interview, the very last question I asked the foreign minister was, what was your message to the American people? Because my audience is largely American, majority American. And he said, our message to the American people is, we have no issue with you. We know your government is basically stealing from you, using your money for this illegal war while you're struggling, while you're not able to pay for your groceries or rent. So the foreign minister's box sent a message to the Americans saying, we have no grievance with you. We know it's your government that has basically stolen your wealth in order to partake in this illegal war. That's the one thing from the administration of Iran. In terms of the people of Iran, I'm a man of the people, so I was there. I was talking to so many people on the street, and they were actually surprised. They were not aware that American people were not supportive of this war. I had to explain to them, look, most Americans are against this war. The huge number of under 40-year-olds are against this war. And they were like, really? Wow, this is surprising. So there is this gap where they're unaware of that. And obviously, I did take it upon myself while I was in Iran to let them know that the American people do not support this war. The American people do not support Trump's war. And I went on the biggest shows in Iran, and I basically relayed that information, so they are cognizant of that.
Wow. Okay, we got breaking news right now. I'm going to throw this tweet up from former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Total betrayal. The House of Representatives passed the NDAA 216-12. 7 Republicans voted no. 6 Democrats voted yes. This $1.1 trillion military budget contains Section 219. That's Section 224. They changed the name. Very sneaky, sneaky, known for that. That ties into our military intelligence and military industrial base to Israel. Israel is to be in ascendancy in all aspects of our military. Israel gets an executive agent who's a new Secretary of War, Secretary of Defense, that does not answer to the Congress, only answers to the President and to Pete Hegseth, which is just like, you know, sure, the lunatics are going to run the asylum. We believe that. Look at this. This is the disenfranchisement and betrayal of our country. And you want to talk about the American people and kind of like our feeling on the war. There is total apathy, because what are you supposed to do when left or right? There's nowhere you can go to vote against this. There really isn't. It's a bipartisan issue to support genocide and the genocidal terrorist state.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And America is completely occupied. This is why I'm one of the few people who actually holds the position that I believe Trump wants to continue this war through the midterms. Mm. And it's not that he wants to wrap it up before. And the reason for that is quite simple. You just seen this vote. The other one was the vote about sending aid to Israel. It was only 100 Congress people who voted against sending aid to Israel. So what that tells you is Congress and Senate is completely occupied. So now look at it from Trump's perspective. If he ends this war right now, what happens? The Republicans are likely going to lose Congress, and with the Senate, it's 50-50. So what it means is, if he ends this war, the chances of him being impeached, in my view, is going to be really high, because he'll get impeached in Congress and possibly in the Senate, because AIPAC and the Israelis control it. On the other hand, if he continues with this war and continues through the midterms, he'll probably lose Congress. He may lose the Senate, but he won't be impeached. And I think he's been given guarantees by AIPAC and the Israeli lobby that if he continues this war, he won't get impeached. So I actually believe that, and I've always said this, and this is an evidence that the war restarted. I've been a big believer that the war would restart for that reason. People said I was clickbaiting. But again, I've ended up being right, because you've seen the war restart, and I do think it will continue throughout the midterms as well.
Yeah, you know, it definitely, I just heard a conversation between my dad and Michael Yon. Michael Yon, of course, friend of Larry Johnson and many other respected individuals, and operator himself. And he's predicting both a global famine and a draft in the U.S. And this is something I talked about in your spaces, and some people kind of gave me crap for it. And it's a thing as to where, like, when you make these predictions that are really painful and bad, you want to be wrong, right? You don't want it to happen, but at the same time, like, you have to acknowledge reality. And the reality of the situation is it's totally unwinnable. You know, I like when Trump says we've decimated Iran, because that's probably true. Decimation means 10%. Maybe we destroyed 10% of their military. Isn't that cute? And, like, we use 90% of our munitions to do it. Like, it's not a rational calculation that can take us anywhere in the future besides a place where more Americans are dead, more billions are spent. And ultimately, like, as a nation, as a republic, even as an empire, you have to be able to protect yourself. And there are all these conflicts, whether it's Russia, whether it's South China Sea, the ridiculous overextension of the United States of America into all these places it should have left, you know, 20 years ago. It's really leading towards a global collapse, and really a collapse for us and our empire over here. The thing that I really struggle with is, why do all these politicians, and I guess it's just because they're owned, co-opted, controlled by the Zionists or whatever, like, you look at the people pushing this right now, you're not going to have a political career in 2 years. Like, it's over. This is already Vietnam. It's going to become 1,000 times worse. And, like, God help us. Let's hope nuclear weapons aren't used. What do you think about this Saudi nuclear deal? Speaking of that, what do you think about the Saudis supposedly getting a right to enrich uranium? What do you think of this?
Yeah, I think it's crazy that the Saudi... Look, I think every country should be allowed to, you know, enrich uranium if they want. I think
NPT.
I'm a big believer. Look, I'm not...
NPT.
I don't believe in enriched uranium. Sorry?
No, non-proliferation treaty. I was agreeing with you on that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer that there should be, nobody should have nukes whatsoever. But that being said, if you've got Israel having nukes, then every country should determine in their own sovereign right whether they want to have nukes or not. But let me be clear on this. Saudi having nukes is much more dangerous than Iran having nukes. Saudi is a country that has facilitated the famine in Yemen, has facilitated the destruction in Yemen. And so allowing these people who are very destructive but very weak, don't have the military capability, don't have the military ability to have nuclear weapons or even to enrich uranium is, I think, believe, a big risk. And it just demonstrates the double standards. Like they were saying, they don't want Iran to have it, which is actually a very, very mature country when they deal with these type of issues. And then to not allow basically Saudi to have it, which purported pushed ISIS ideology throughout the world, kind of tells you a lot about the hypocrisy of the position of the United States of America. And you mentioned about the U.S. empire. Yeah, the U.S. empire is falling. The U.S. empire is dying. And the reason it's done is, as you mentioned, it's co-opted. But also what the corporations have done is they've basically asset stripped. They've basically used the United States of America to enrich themselves. And an example of that is the military industrial complex. You look at it now, and for example, I had the MIT professor, Ted Postel, on my show, and he basically broke down. He did it in 1991 as well, and I didn't know it was him. I used to quote the position, but I didn't remember it was him. But he's basically said that the defense capability of the United States of America, the Part 2, the Part 3, the Patriots, Iron Dome, David Sling, they're only 1% to 2% effective. 1% to 2%. It means you have 100 missiles rained against you, and you're only able to stop one or two of them. That's how bad the defense is for the United States of America and any country that has got the defense equipment of the U.S. And so what it tells you, and why are we here? Because Raytheon, Lockheed Martin essentially took a huge amount of wealth from the United States of America, and they just built products that just weren't up to standards. And so you're seeing the fall of the United States of America because of the manipulation, because the politicians were in bed with these corporations, and the fact that Trump has decided to partake in an illegal war where he had to demonstrate this capability in real time against a middle-level power, and they failed to do so.
Yes, indeed. And it was that refusal to acknowledge them as a regional power that got us into this mess in the first place. Thank you. Stay with me here. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. I want to get back to that interview you were doing. I want to play Sergey Lavrov, and I want to show you Massey and Ro Khanna blocked from voting on that same bill. Thank you, Suleiman. I'll see you soon.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I'm joined by respected international journalist Suleiman Ahmed of Moral Resistance, and also Suleiman Ahmed on X. You can find him very easily. He's got a big following. I would follow the YouTube channel. It's one of my daily driver shows I like to listen to in the car in the evening. So, Suleiman, let's get back to your interview with the high-level Iranian dignitary. Let's play clip number 22 on violations of the MOU, factions of U.S. government.
Most each and every part of this MOU has been violated by the United States within the past 1 week or 10 days.
No doubt. And you mentioned the different factions, and there's no doubt that Trump had a huge amount of pressure as soon as he signed the MOU deal from some of these factions, especially the pro-Israel lobby. Now, the question about it is, what was the feeling like within Iran, within the administration, within the foreign ministry, when you saw that within days of signing this MOU, you had a deal that completely conflicted with Article 1.
The signal is that perhaps we can no longer claim that the United States is governed by one efficient and effective governance system. There are different factions that are somehow interacting within themselves. Perhaps the reason they are sending confusing signals across the globe about different issues is because different forces, different interests are at work. The problem is that we are not seeing a unified, integrated positioning coming out of this administration. And that's what makes it very difficult for our region, for the whole international community, to interact with such system of somehow fragmented governance.
The Article 1 of the MOU talks about having peace in the entirety of the region. And so what comes to mind is Lebanon, Yemen, Iraq, Gaza. How much of those different elements and countries are going to be or were meant to be as part of Article 1 of the deal?
You have to see Paragraph 1 in perspective of a region that has been under war out of the United States and Israel acting together to create such unrest in the whole region. What I'm trying to say is that if you look at the past 3 years, for instance, all wars are originating from one actor, which is Israel. They have attacked at least 7 or 8 countries. They have attacked Syria, Lebanon. They have committed a horrible genocide in occupied Palestine. They have attacked Iran. That's why if we want to see real peace in the region, they have to control the origin of these endless wars.
Pause.
And basically, if you...
So, I mean, that's it right there. The United States is not in charge. We're the junior partner, and that's what makes us agreement incapable, Suleiman, is we don't control these agreements, arrangements we get ourselves into. What's your take on that?
No doubt. And just, Rex, apologies that there's just some breaking news. I don't know if you want me to tell you.
No, go ahead. Breaking news now. Suleiman, breaking news live. What's going on?
Yeah, there's huge news coming out. The Ansarullah, as you know, I spent a lot of time with Ansarullah in Iran. So Ansarullah have struck 2 Saudi vessels.
Wow.
In Mandab, so 2 Saudi oil tankers. I've seen the visuals of it. One of the oil tankers is completely on fire. I've not seen the visuals of the second one, but 2 Saudi vessels, the Ensilia and the Layla, were struck by ballistic and cruise missiles,
wow,
as well as drones, resulting in large fires on both ships. This is a significant escalation because what's happened before this was there was 8 vessels that were trying to traverse Bab al-Mandab and then turned back. So now Ansarullah has made a huge move because it seems like these 2 vessels were trying to break the blockade and they got hit. Obviously, we can go into the details about the entire scenario if you want.
Well,
on that,
hold on, because there is a lot of debate between the various talking heads and some of these interview channels about, is the blockade real? Are the Yemenis going to enforce it? And here's the proof in the pudding right now. So they're serious about this. This is another vital choke point. It's basically, I saw this great graphic of Saudi grabbing Yemen and then Yemen grabbing the Bab al-Mandab. That political cartoon, I think it originated from the Middle East. Suleiman, just a more high level overview of this, if you could.
Of course, right. So look, I spent a lot of time and I was aware of a lot of these things that are happening in terms of the escalatory ladder. But in basically what's happened is there's been an 11-year siege on Yemen. The Saudis have not allowed any flight into Sana'a, any flight out of Sana'a. What happened was for the funeral of Ayatollah al-Khamenei, 200 people from Yemen, from the lowest to the very highest level of delegation, went to Iran to break the blockade, to say, look, we're going to go. You're not going to stop us. It's been 11 years. The Saudis sent fighter jets to strike them. They were ready to die, they told me, in order to break the blockade. They went to Iran. They obviously fired at them. They went to Iran. And this time, then they went back from Iran to Saudi. When they went back to Saudi, the Saudis fired at Sana'a Airport and basically tried to attack the aeroplane that was carrying 200 people. Some of them were very high-ranking people within Ansarullah, and they had to take a different route. So what happened then was Ansarullah made the move, which is to say, you put a blockade and siege on us for 11 years. Now we will be putting a blockade and siege on you. And so the Bab al-Mandab will be closed, not for the entire world, but just for Saudi Arabia, where they have 5 million barrels of oil that come out. They were able to circumvent the closure of the Strait of Hormuz by using the Bab al-Mandab. Well, this time, the Bab al-Mandab was closed to Saudi Arabia. The Saudis, essentially, there was 8 vessels that were turned back yesterday, and now you've seen the vessels being struck. This has put the Saudis in a, basically, they're struck. They're snookered, as we would say, in the United Kingdom, because essentially, what does this mean? What can they do? If they physically attack Yemen, Yemen can escalate. They'll hit their oil infrastructure. They'll hit their energy infrastructure. You saw when they struck Saudi Arabia just a couple of days ago in response to the strikes on Sana'a, the Saudis were unable to defend themselves because the defense interceptors basically do not work. And so what can the Saudis do? And also they can actually close Bab al-Mandab for everybody as well. So the Saudis are stuck. Yesterday they made they think it's a huge move. It's just a stupid move. But they brought in basically Zubaydi. Zubaydi, for your audience, is a bit complex in Saudi. So in Saudi you have Ansarullah, and then you have two other factions. You have the UAE-backed faction, and you have the Saudi-backed faction. So the UAE-backed faction was basically led by a guy called Zubaydi. He wanted to separate Yemen or split it into two, the north of Yemen and the south of Yemen. And he wanted the Yemen that he controlled to normalize with Israel. This was Zubaydi. So he was the UAE-backed. Now, the UAE-backed and the Saudi-backed fought with each other over the last year because, remember, Ansarullah and the Saudis had a peace agreement from 2023. So Saudi and Ansarullah have a peace agreement from 2023. Part of the agreement is the blockade and siege will be removed, but the Saudis never removed it. But they stopped fighting. And then last year, the UAE and the Saudi-backed start fighting each other. Saudi-backed defeated the UAE-backed. Zubaydi fled, and he went back. He went to the UAE through Somaliland. Now the Saudis is like a heel turn, WWE move. Now the Saudis are like, okay, we beat you, but now we're bringing you back as part of us. So they're trying to bring Zubaydi back in order to cause civil war. It's not going to work. It's just a foolish move. And the Saudis are stuck. They need to just essentially accept it. They need to remove the blockade. They need to remove the siege from Ansarullah. They need to, but the reason they don't want to do it is because once they do that, they're essentially legitimizing Ansarullah and they're accepting that they are the legitimate government, okay. Yemen, which they are.
Okay,
this
so,
is the situation, the stock.
So you're on the ball and you're aware of these things. Is the U.S. military currently staging out of Saudi Arabia right now?
Yes, they are. They're staging out of both bases in Saudi Arabia. And this is why last night both bases had strikes against them. So those were hit yesterday. In addition to that, right now, as breaking news, I'm also from my source in Saudi Arabia. There's alerts happening in Khobar in Saudi Arabia as well. And so Saudi Arabia has been left out of the action recently, but now they will be targeted. They will be struck by Ansarullah as well as by Iran if they continue to help facilitate the attacks on Iranian soil, especially if they attack Iranian infrastructure.
This is how I look at the war. The Iranians have a very difficult task where they have to walk a tightrope of escalation. They've done a decent job of that, targeting the American bases pretty much over everything else. The Americans, and just the U.S.-Israeli empire, easier to say, has a basically impossible task. It has to keep the vassal slave states of the Gulf enthralled when our military technology and bases that we've sold them as protection racket type stuff don't work at all. And I think it's key you point out the missile interceptors. I hadn't heard the 2% number. The number I had heard was like 5%. Maybe I hadn't seen the latest Ted Postal thing or whatever it is. The whole point is the systems cost billions of dollars and don't work. And the Iranians can fire a $20,000 lawnmower drone that has the capability to destroy $300 or $600 million radar. So it's just kind of an unwinnable conflict, which is why the American people are so upset with it, both from an economic and military perspective. Economically, this is bankrupting us and killing the recovery that was promised in 2024. And then from a military perspective, it is literally fish in a barrel, sitting duck. They're available to be killed, and it's a military action. It's a war, so they're going to be, right? It's a strike on our military bases that are around these countries, right? It's like, wow. Iran did something crazy. They put their country around all these U.S. military bases. So I think it's this thing as to where Not only can we not defend ourselves, we can't defend our so-called allies, and Israel's not even interested, as he referenced earlier with Smotrich. He says it's ideal. And he's right. You know, the U.S. is finally fighting the war that Israel started solo. What is their potential to get back involved in this? It's what I want to ask you. What's their next step?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So my sources in Iran told me they're ready. In the next 3 to 5 days, they've got missiles they've never used before. They've got the potency that's required, and they're ready to decimate Israel. Israel's aware of this, obviously. And so it seems like out of fear, unless they're playing like bait and switch, this is possible as well. But if they're not playing bait and switch and Smotrich's statement is real, what it shows is that they are afraid. They're afraid of Iran's strikes, and they're afraid that Iran's going to decimate them. So they'd rather sacrifice American lives. They'd rather allow Iranian lives to die, and they don't want to risk their own people. And so he's saying it's an ideal situation. It kind of is, because they're not being struck. But let me tell you something. When it comes to Iran, I'm not sure what they, from what I'm told by Iran, they're saying that when Israel strikes us, we're going to strike. But if Israel continues to facilitate the strikes against Iran, because the KC-135 tankers are coming out of Israel, the aircrafts are now coming out of Israel. As you mentioned, Al-Udeid Air Base has been completely emptied out. Everything's moving towards Israel. So the issue is that I do think that there is a pretext to attack them, but we'll have to wait and see if Iran does so. But I do know if Israel makes the fatal error of joining this war, they will be hit very, very hard.
It's an interesting concept to think about Trump and Pete Hegseth and this, you know, they oftentimes what I've heard, especially from people that are like longtime U.S. military service members that maybe have an opinion of Israel, what they say is there are attack dog. There are aircraft carrier in the Middle East. I would consider the U.S. to be Israel's attack dog, because they're the ones that have us on a leash. And it's this odd situation where you have the U.S., you have Trump, all this language. I've got even more clips of them. It's literally, I'm drowning in news over here, ready to escalate, ready to hit the power plants, the bridges, you name it. But then also we're staging the planes at Ben Gurion Airport in Israel. It's kind of a situation as to where I guess, you know, they got what they wanted, but maybe it might be too much.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, when you look, you're 100% right. The Israelis got what they wanted. And I'm a big believer that Israel knows that this is their last chance. The American public has turned against them. The majority of the youth has turned against them. They don't know if their president in 2028 will be willing to go to war against Iran. And then in the future, it becomes even more unlikely. So they're never going to allow this to succeed. They're always going to continue and make sure this war continues. Trump is trapped. Trump has to continue this war because he's got no chance. He's put himself in the war. He can't get out of it. He's made Lebanon and Strait of Hormuz into major issues, and he just can't pull out. And so from Israel's perspective, they're going to make sure that this war continues to the last American. And my concern is that there's two things coming. One is a ground invasion, and the other one is a possible use of a nuclear weapon. It does seem like this conversation is becoming a lot more normalized, especially in terms of a nuclear weapon. And this is a state that is deplorable. They were part of the genocide in Gaza. And so them using a nuclear weapon would not be surprising. And I think out of desperation, that may be something they try and do. But in terms of this war, they've destroyed the U.S. empire. They've weakened it. China is now becoming a lot more powerful. A lot of these countries are realizing becoming a U.S. ally is not a benefit, but it ends up harming you, which was not always the case in the past. And so you're seeing the weakening of the United States of America. You're seeing the fact that Israel basically is being isolated to an extent, and Israel's going to make sure that this war continues. And so that's kind of where we're at in that scenario.
I don't understand why Americans have this attitude about certain countries, especially I get the China thing, but between Russia, Iran specifically, we have these nations that have tried to squash conflicts, or like Russia tried to join NATO twice, have tried to work with us. And then we back the weakest, most, you know, I don't know how to describe it. I guess we back the grifter nations, whether that's Ukraine or Israel, right? And it's people that don't have natural resources, that don't have manpower, don't have like a native capability, but we're sold on them as a kind of way for our politicians to grift. And I think the sentiment, like you're talking about with the youth in America, I think it's changing because we look around the world and we say, wow, with friends like these, who needs enemies? You know, like seriously, like if this is what it means to be a friend, then I don't want to be friends with you. It's not super complicated. Like, we're dying for you. We're spending all this money for you. We're degrading our world position forever. I mean, the idea of being an American citizen that I had as a kid, being able to travel anywhere in the world, I had this idea of being able to pay with the dollar, do all this stuff. That's all going away forever. And we have no one but ourselves to blame. You can look at Trump. You can look at Biden. Biden weaponized SWIFT. He said, no more bank-to-bank processing for you. So BRICS made SIPs. You know, we said, oh, no Chinese, no GPS for you. They made Baidu. So it's just a thing as to where it's this gain-of-function research. We kind of create our own defeat. It's this self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's something I believe we get heavily from the Israelis because they're big believers in that. So in your view, just more futurist predictions from you because we like predictions on the show.
Yeah. And just to add to what you're saying before I make the predictions, that do you remember that press conference with the EU where Trump made sort of two key statements? One statement was he said, well, we can't continue to sanction countries because then people will leave the dollar. And if people leave the dollar, it'll have a harming effect on the global reserve currency. And the second point he made was that we said the oil reserves are down and we've only got 30 days of supply. What that tells you is he's aware of the situation, like he understands it. And yet, despite saying that, his actions have been totally in contradiction of it. And so you look at him restarting the war on the Strait of Hormuz, it means the oil reserves are no longer, they're not going to be able to basically add to their oil reserves. And then you see the fact that he's continued this war and he's reapplied the sanctions on Iran, once again demonstrating that you can't be as part of the dollar system because the Americans will just sanction you and you will no longer have access to your money. So he, despite being aware of it, because some people are like, oh, he's dumb, but he's clearly not dumb because he's aware of it. Despite him being aware of it, he's willing to destroy the US empire and he's willing to go ahead with that. In terms of what I believe is going to happen, I believe that Iran's going to continue dominating in this war. I do believe that the U.S. is going to continue to weaken, but I do believe the war is going to continue. I don't see a scenario where the U.S. pulls out. I don't see a scenario where Israel allows the U.S. to pull out. And so what we're going to see is more of the same, where the U.S. will attack quite hard for 2 weeks, and then they'll try and beg for a ceasefire, and then they'll go back again and attack. And so we're just going to see this entire cycle of attacks, and I do think this war will continue for a very long time. And I believe Netanyahu is coming to the United States of America, so he'll continue to basically get Trump back into accepting the fact that he is, you know, he can't pull out of this war, even though he doesn't seem to suggest that he is. So I expect the war to continue as it is. In terms of ground troops, I still think logically it just makes no sense. But again, is Trump willing to sacrifice? I think he is. Is Trump willing to use a nuke? I believe the Trump and the Israelis are also willing to use a nuke as well, because as you know, Larry Johnson revealed on our show months ago that Trump was asking about the usage of a nuclear bomb. And then this was confirmed by Seymour Hersh, another well-respected, well-renowned journalist. So that's the way I see things going. In terms of Ansarullah, I think they're going to defeat Saudi Arabia as well. And then Saudi Arabia is going to have to accept the legitimacy of Ansarullah.
All right. Let's close with something domestic here. I want to go to the first link in the rundown under the interview. Massey and Ro Khanna blocked from voting on the NDAA. I've gone over that at length. I did a whole breakdown with it with Joe Kent and Anthony Aguilar. It's an attack against our sovereignty. We're an occupied nation, Zionist occupied government. It's literally just spelled out there. There's even a letter from Netanyahu. There's a letter from Netanyahu where he claims to have authored it and thanks the person for doing it in his name. Look at this. Congress blocked its own members from voting on the plan to merge U.S. and Israeli military supply chains. The House Rules Committee refused to allow a vote on the amendment challenging Section 219, the NDAA provision integrating American military technology and supply chain with Israel's. That's a cute way to lie and not tell the truth. It merges our entire military joint at the hip. Massey's account, no debate or vote was allowed on Section 219, integration of U.S. military technology and supply chains. Khanna, we do not even have the chance to vote in the House to stop Israel and the United States from co-producing weapons. We need to now fight to strip this amendment in the conference between the House and the Senate. The provision advances as the $38 billion aid era winds towards its 2028 partnership replacement. And after the House rejected Massey's separate aid cut amendment, 314 to 104, whatever one thinks of integration itself, blah, blah. All right, we don't need Mario Newfall. All right, that's fine. So we have a situation domestically where on the left and on the right, you look at Ro Khanna, you look at Thomas Massie, the people love them. The people love these people. And that's that new coalition, Suleiman, that you're going to see in 2028 moving forward. That's the future. But right now, they still have this like boomer tyrant, Zionist tyrant grip on our government to the degree where, you know, we have Massie forced out. They have a guy who kind of looks like Hitler, Ed Gowron, replace him, who's basically just a creation of Trump. And Ro Khanna, they're already trying to demonize. This is a sitting United States congressperson that was detained by settlers and the IDF and had guns pointed at him. When they do that, when they point guns at Rokana, they're pointing guns at you. And we got people in America go, well, he's Indian, I don't care. Well, there's your road to slavery. Enjoy it. You know, isn't that cool? You can be racist in the concentration camp when you're abiding by the Noahide laws where you can't practice your religion. That'll be really cool for everyone, won't it? So, just Suleiman, what do you think about that situation?
Yeah, I think it's another example of the Israeli control of the United States of America. And this is why, if you remember a year ago, Benjamin Netanyahu and a lot of these Israeli influencers like Laura Loom were coming out saying, oh, guess what? We want to stop the aid coming into Israel, because they know the $3 billion isn't the main thing. For example, you look at how much this war has cost. It's probably cost $1 trillion by now. That's the real money that they're getting to spend on Israel. And by having this NDAA, Section 219, what they're guaranteeing is the American military, the American missiles, the American drones, all of them, and not only in terms of the Israel has access to the technology, so they don't need the Americans to basically give them it, but they also will be able to influence the direction of the U.S. military. And so therefore, it means that they are able to make sure that the wars happen in the manner that they want them to happen, the direction that they want to have them to happen. And so, for example, what's $3 billion in 2027 if you can make the United States of America spend $1 trillion on a war for you? So those were the groundworks that were being laid in order to get the NDAA. And as you said, this is why Benjamin Netanyahu essentially wrote a large, certain aspects of the NDAA.
Yes.
And this is why we knew without a shadow of a doubt that this NDAA would be accepted and it would go through Congress, because the Congress and the Senate is Israeli occupied territory.
Right. Now, I just want to say thank you to our real president, Benjamin Netanyahu. Thank you for spending, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. Thank you for killing American soldiers, our brothers and sisters. Thank you for doing that, even though you're not our countryman. Oh, wait, you are. He was born here. Isn't that strange? So that's where we are, Suleiman. Thank you so much for doing this with me. I'll see you soon. We'll stream together soon. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
100%. Thank you. And check out Moral Resistance on YouTube. Let's throw that up really quick. We got like a minute left here. You got to get in the geopolitical news rotation. So many phenomenal channels to follow. Suleiman is definitely one of those. You want to see Professor Pape on there. That's the only man who will ever tolerate listening to talk about himself in the third person. That's because he's so smart, so intelligent. Larry Johnson, basically never wrong. 31-year CIA history. Moral Resistance, go ahead and follow that channel. Also recommend Glenn Deason, Dialogue Works. Also recommend Judge Napolitano and so many others. Thank you so much. We're going to be back taking your calls in the next segment. I'm literally drowning in news. I got so many other things to cover. I didn't play the Lavrov clip, so we'll probably start off with that here. And I'm going to mention the phone number here, 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. You want to call in now? Call into the war room. What's going on? You're on that drive. I know you are. Pull over, call us, and get back on the road. See you soon.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexshowshore.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc, the flower of the Renaissance, challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels, I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at theolivestonestore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the show, the third hour. I'm going to read that number out again. That's 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. Call in. I want to get your predictions on the Iran war and your thoughts on that interview that we just did. And also, you know, what you're keeping your eye on in the news. Anything caught your eye, I want you to tell me about it. Call in 512-266-0642. I want to go ahead and get to the Lavrov clips that we didn't get to. Then I've got a Charlie Kirk clip talking about InfoWars that's super important. And then I got the mother of all Pete Hegseth explosions. You're going to want to stay tuned. You're going to want to stay with me. We're going to cover a clip. We're going to take a few calls, and we're going to cover another clip. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 49 on Iran and nuclear weapons from Lavrov.
I believe many countries will look at Iran and at the previous examples that I have just cited, and they will be thinking that probably only the nuclear weapon to a certain extent can guarantee freedom and independence of a state. So there will be more and more such sentiments. To my deepest regret, I'm saying this because that's one of the consequences of the aggression that the United States and a number of their allies are trying to pursue, this aggressive policy that they're
This is basically what we need to understand. Until very recently, we were in a spirit of non-proliferation. That's the whole purpose of the NPT, the non-proliferation treaty. We had something called the New START treaty that expired, I believe, at the middle point of last year. The Russians tried to get us to re-sign that. We didn't. So now there is no nuclear arms control, which is why the idea of us, a nation that has unregulated nuclear weapons, I don't think we're a signatory to the NPT, a nation we back, Israel, certainly is not. And they openly have a Samson option up to 300 nuclear weapons, right? That somehow escapes us, right? We're confused by that. But then Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Yes, they're developing, even though they banned it in 2003, even though 19 intelligence agencies, even though Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent. Pull this up really quick. All right, I'm remembering this now. That clip was a little shorter than I thought it was. Look up Tulsi Gabbard, no war with Iran t-shirt. Just look it up. She sold a no war with Iran t-shirt for $40. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure she's a nice lady. I'm sure when you go to the Oval Office, they take you down through a trap door to meet the devil himself or Beelzebub or whatever lieutenant runs the White House. And you get on protocol, you get on the program. But Tulsi sold shirts for $40 that said no war with Iran. Look at that. Like, you think I'm capping? I'm never capping. I'm for real. Look at this. No war with Iran. It's a $40 t-shirt. Isn't that cool? So you don't get what you want. You get fake wars that are provided to you on the basis of being fake, of saying this nation that's not a nuclear threat is a nuclear threat because we say so in our action, bombing them and killing them and blowing up their schools. We're going to make them become that nuclear power. That's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. Who wants Iran to have a nuke the most? Who wants them to try to develop one the most? Who's going to immediately launch their thermonuclear warheads, according to Jonathan Pollard? He says they have them. Who's immediately going to do that? Would that be IZRUL? Would that be Israel? I think it might be Israel. So I would say that's the real problem when it comes to proliferation, not Iran. But of course, as Lavrov says, this is just the reasonable, like, makes sense conclusion of like, hey, you know, you knock this domino over, the other ones are going to fall down. That's what we've done in the region because we've shown you're not safe unless you have one. Look at Kim. Look at old Kim. Kim Jong-un, lover of fermented cheeses and cheese whiz, connoisseur extraordinaire. He doesn't get messed with. North Korea doesn't get messed with. You know why that was? I watched Lawrence Wilkerson talk about it. During one of these negotiations in the Korean War, the Koreans said, we have the bomb! And then it became over. So, there you go. Like, it's not surprising. It's not surprising what's happening right now. If you paid a little bit of attention and you looked at the giant poison cloud of smog and acid rain that we caused to rain over Tehran, a city of 12 million people, you know, it's starting to make a little sense. Think about the Manav school as an example. God help us, Lord help us, may no one get another nuclear weapon, especially Israel. Rex Jones, be back soon.
Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the dual carbon gravity water filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
Well, last 30 minutes here in hyperspace, I've really enjoyed connecting with all y'all today through whatever digital medium, satellite, Wi-Fi, you name it. Welcome back to the show. I do want you to call in. I want to hear from you. The number is 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. I really want to hear your thoughts on the interview, maybe if you learned something or if it changed your mind or maybe if you disagree. 512-266-0642. Let's go ahead and get to those two breaking Trump clips really quick that we have available.
Place, but we then, as you know, we won Venezuela, which is now working with us to produce millions and millions of barrels of oil. We're getting along great with them one day. And we've already paid for that operation many, many times over. We're taking tremendous amounts of oil, and they're taking tremendous amounts of oil. It's a partnership, in a sense. They're doing a great job. We're working together. And
like the mafia.
Millions of places. But we then, as you know, we won Venezuela, which is now working with us to produce millions and millions of barrels of oil. We're getting along great with them one day. And we've already paid for that operation many, many times over. We're taking tremendous amounts of oil, and they're taking tremendous amounts of oil. It's a partnership, in a sense. They're doing a great job. We're working together. And millions of...
It's a partnership, in a way. It's a partnership where I say, you need a little bit of money to keep your sports store open. I'm going to loan you the money, but then your books are going to be mine. Like, he's just a mafia don. Like, that's really what it is. And the whole idea of, oh, we paid for the operation against Venezuela. We paid for it. We paid for it. Paid for it. It's not about paying for it, Trump. It's about the implications for it globally. It's about you using our military to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, in service of Israel. Keep in mind, look at Argentina. They got a whole colony over there. We gave them $40 billion. Look at Venezuela. We made a mobster mafia type deal, which is why when he compares it to the Iran war, it's completely false because the Iranians can't be bought. The Venezuelans very clearly were bought very easily. The number two lady literally helped them build a model of Maduro's house so they could practice the raid. So, of course, it went well technically, but it went well in service of us having to fight this massive war. And it definitely... Trump creamed his jeans over it and now is looking to chase that dragon over and over and over again, and he can't find it. So, very interesting. We got callers on the board. I want to talk to Bart. How are you doing, Bart?
I'm doing, if I was doing any better, I wouldn't be able to stand it. Thank you for taking my call, sir. I want to talk about this war in Iran. I started talking to your father about this the day before it happened in February, and it's only gotten worse. My patience has run out, just like I'm sure everybody else has. We need to call for the 25th Amendment. If not, he's going to do it to himself by losing the House and the Senate and getting impeached.
Yep.
You know what? My ADD is kicking in. I'm thinking about the Tate brothers. They are American citizens. They were born first. I don't know what his mother did in getting them a passport over here, but that's like some country deporting you or me, and you're born here to where it's a dictatorship over there. That's like I was in the Philippines for 15 or 20 years, and what they can, out of those 1,000 women, they could probably find 3 to lie and say I raped them. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Well, that was heavy. Appreciate that. Thank you, Bart and Georgia. Damn. All right. You know what? We got Murderers Row. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the call. Like I said last time, I'm not stoned enough to do it, but I will take the call. Jefferson in Virginia, I want you to tell me about the free energy. We've been on the phone quite a bit these past few days, haven't we? Do you enjoy our special time together? Hello? I don't hear you.
What? Can you hear me now?
I can. How are you doing?
I just got the signal that I'm now on. My microphone is now activated by InfoWars, Alex Jones Live. Thank you for taking my call. I do enjoy it every time I get to talk to you.
What's on your mind?
And you're doing a great job hosting. I have to say, your interview this afternoon was fantastic. But it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to let the Saudi Arabians have fission nuclear power, especially in this day and age when we have both safe fission and fusion. So I don't know when they're going to get these fission plants built and how long it's going to take, but it's just more continuation of hiding the technology that we have that we don't want the world to acknowledge exists. It's really, I mean, maybe they'll have a fusion reactor hidden inside a fission outpost, and we won't know the difference. But I'm just saying it doesn't make a lot of sense to let the Saudis have fission from uranium-238, which they can turn into plutonium. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No, I don't think the Saudis should be enriching uranium, but if they sign the NPT, they have the right to. I mean, I just, like, we're not going to give the free energy to anybody, even ourselves. Like, I agree with you. I think that it exists, and I think it would be ideal if Americans had access to it. But realistically, it's just kind of like this, like, red herring topic. Like, how is that related to anything that's going on right now? Because they won't deploy it.
Right. But, I mean, when we talk about free energy, we're talking about the energy is free to the producer of it. It's not free to the end user of it. The customer still has to pay a certain price to get the much cheaper energy. But the energy is produced in a way that, for the producer of it, it is essentially free. After they essentially ignite the fusion reaction and get the free energy out more than they're putting in. So anyway, we misname things all the time. Free energy is not exactly the same thing as fusion for the people that receive the electricity from the what's called direct energy conversion in the field reverse configuration reactors that people don't know exist. But I'm just saying this Trialpha Energy Company is one of the leaders in commercialization of field reverse configuration fusion, which most people have no idea how that differs from tokamak, hard to do, almost impossible to do fusion. The Chinese are doing fusion the hard way with the tokamaks, and it's taking them huge amounts of energy to produce a reaction that lasts maybe 20 minutes. It's not sustainable, but 20 minutes is significant. But they're trying to do fusion the hard way, and Lockheed Martin has figured out a way to do it much more easily using field reverse configuration, and that is something that everybody should have in their vocabulary. Field reverse configuration changes the game.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the education on that. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Don in Oklahoma, Section 219 surrender. Did he drop off? We got to have people stay on the phone. You got to call back in. All right. I'll read the number out one more time. We're going to get into Lavrov clips because clip 50 is something important that people need to see. The number to call in, if you want to, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. You get to talk to me. You can ask me about my dad and fishing and whatever. Go ahead and call into the show. Rex Jones News on Twitter, on Instagram as well. I'll go ahead and plug myself really quick. I haven't done that all show. Rex Jones News with a Z. Okay? And New American Journal, morning show. Gray Area Talks evening show. I am live every single morning, Monday through Friday, 3 hours a day, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. If you watch the journal before, I am still doing it, okay? I've got like a Rob Dew equivalent. I got a guy that's working for me right now. Austin does a phenomenal job. Shout out to you on the InfoWars Network. Austin Lostra doing a phenomenal job working for me.
doing a lot that I asked him to do. And we're creating a new media company, a new media genre, new media style. And I'm so grateful to get to guest host and to really just host on networks and shows like this one on AJN. I do want to tell you guys, my Instagram, I have to build it up. That's where I put a lot of the clips from both of the shows, Gray Area Talks and New American Journal. If you want to follow me there, it's the same as my X. If you follow me on X, it should be really easy. It's just Rex Jones News with a Z. And I think I even have a link tree in there. And I am full in the lifestyle now. I eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff. I'm looking at news probably 12, 13 hours a day, just in the same way my father taught me. I'm implementing the same methodologies for myself. It's really an amazing, exciting journey, getting back in shape as well, eating right, lifting weights, swimming in the pool, doing the research, building a media company, working in business as well. I'm a supplement white labeler, formulator, researcher, e-commerce guy. I got 50%off.com. I got Jones CBD, 50%off.com, Jones CBD, if you want to check those out. I wear a lot of different hats. My point is with all of that, I'm trying to show you guys as much as possible because I want you to grow with me, and I want you in various aspects, as we're all trying to improve. We all want to be Renaissance men and women. I want you to do the same thing. Life is so exciting. Life is so beautiful. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life is painful, but we're alive. We're on this planet, and any day we take a breath is a good day. And I do appreciate everyone calling in now. Let's go to Sean in California on making our own videos. Excellent caller calling in. Howdy.
How you doing, brother?
Pretty good.
Great, great. Hey, your dad put out the call the other day for, you know, people to perhaps get, you know, videos of, you know, our forebears in the liberty movement together and things of that. And he also referenced the term pro se litigant. I'm not going to go down that particular path right at this second. So what I was letting you know, Rex, is so far I've put together about a playlist of about a dozen videos. So I'm eventually going to send those over to you guys as show tips line. What have you. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, Alex put out the call. Some of us do listen, and we just kind of, you know, keep quiet about it until we're almost ready. So, like, right now I'm looking at something for Daniel Smoot from back in the day in black and white, and I got some Jerry Griffith. I got wow. some Red Beckman. I got some John Quay, just all these guys. I even found a link to, if you remember, Revelation, Dawn of Global Government with Charlie Daniels and Peter Boykin, which was one of my favorite DVDs I bought from the old store wow. back in the day off you guys. So I think this would be a good you guys will figure out how you want to do it with the websites and everything. That'll be on your end. But, you know, just having that tranche of all these informations and documentaries, the stuff's still out there. Just people have to go. You got, if you want the knowledge and you want to win in this information warfare battle, see how I phrase that?
Yeah.
You want to win, you got to go look for it. And if you don't, then you're just another guy in the audience. And Rex, you and Tim and Harrison, you guys, I love seeing those who are below Generation X actually getting off their duff and actually going out looking for the truth of the matter, having the discussions to get to even a more refined truth, and actually not settling for what the let's just call it slop for the time being.
Sure.
Slop that we're fed and these narratives we're fed. I am with you on the frustration with the administration because they couldn't even have the – it's going to sound asinine or sarcastic to say it, but they can't even give us a false flag to properly start this nonsense in Iran. You know?
Oh, they don't even care. They don't even care anymore. They've come – it's just like, oh, well, we're going to kill more Americans now. It is what it is. That's the thing that's wild to me, and what you're talking about is standing on the shoulders of giants. And I have a decent memory, and I remember back in the day, like 2000s, 20-teens pretty well, but – truly, like people like G. Edward Griffin, who's amazing. I'm so glad my dad had him on the show recently as well. Like, we stand on the shoulders of giants. It's why I'm a big fan of, like, the old heads as well that I watch now, like Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson and Larry Johnson, former CIA intel analyst. There's so many of these people that we really have to appreciate. And there are serious people that are both alive and dead that you can look to as examples from back in the day that predicted all of this. I mean, I think Pat Buchanan would be a pretty good example. So thank you for the call. I really do appreciate that. And that call he's putting out to everyone, all our old stuff, it doesn't matter what the Onion retards say. It was always free to air, right? So they don't retroactively own any of that. I would highly recommend downloading documentaries of ours that you like, sharing those with friends and family, and making it clear if it wasn't important information, they wouldn't have tried to scrub us from the internet. It's pretty much that simple. Right? It's like you only destroy what you're afraid of, right? And it's not us. It's the concept of us and the archetype that we represent. It's just anyone can do it. It's not that difficult. It's my dad's My favorite saying of my father is, why don't I just give myself some grand title? And that's true. And the elites do that, and they want to pretend like you can't do the same thing. Everyone could be an analyst. Everyone could be a journalist. Everyone could be a reporter. Just never call yourself an influencer, because you're not trying to influence anybody. Just trying to tell the truth. So, excellent call. Let's do Mary in Florida. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I just wanted to call to let you know that we just moved here to Florida, the free state of Florida, and we have been here about 6 years.
I lost your audio. All right. Well, she'll call back in. Yeah, Mary, please call back in. I think there was a little bit of accident on our end, maybe. Let's go to Mike in Michigan on the Iran war.
I can't even believe I got through. You know, this is the first time I ever got through, and I get to talk to the great one's son.
The I appreciate only, it, man. Thank you.
Oh, man, I'm a benefit.
What? All right, we just keep losing people. You're all good. We got Captain Randall, who I appointed chat leader of New American Journal, which is, if you tune into New American Journal and you either make me laugh, make me think, or you piss me off, then you become chat leader. It's a temporary title. It's for the day, and you can request discounts on supplements. Just a fun thing that I do because I'm the boss, right? Let's go to Captain Randall. And please, Captain Randall, no swearing. We're on radio.
Rex, you can't give me that kind of power, dude. I'll go full Nazi on the air.
Be careful. I will drop you, but you have amused me in the chat. So how are you doing? What's Captain Randall doing today?
Good. That is the purpose of my antics. We all need to laugh at this stuff a little bit, bro.
Sure.
It really lightens everything up a bit. And to be honest, I think humor gets your point across more than trying to be reactive or angry. So,
sure.
You know, I called really because I've been sitting here watching you for the last couple of weeks, and I just wanted to tell you you're doing great. I'm so happy for you. I'm going to do my best to try to keep it light.
Thank you.
You know, I've been listening to your dad for like 20 years. I'm an old head. I was listening to your dad and Bill Hicks back in the day when no really. Like, it's really, it makes me happy to see people waking up, but we got a long way to go. But I just called in just to say, hey, thank you to all the folks in the chat. Don't take it so harsh. We all need to laugh a little bit harder. Do your best to just try to make light of this stuff the best we can. Humor gets your point across a hell of a lot better than being reactive does, so. It's hard for all of us. I'm struggling out here trying to make a living fishing, and you know, the government, the regulations, everything have basically put me in the toilet.
Wow.
You know, it's tough, but I'm doing the best I can and trying to laugh every day. And thank you all for helping me laugh a little bit about this situation. It's bad, dude. It's bad out there.
It
people
is
are
bad.
Really struggling right now, man.
I know.
You hear Trump go off. Oh, the our 401ks are great. The market's great. 70% of the people in this country don't have 401ks. They don't even know what a 401k freaking is.
Right.
You know.
God, that's powerful, man. That's good stuff. And you're voicing how we all feel.
Keep pushing. Keep pushing the truth, man.
Thank you.
Keep pushing it.
That was chat leader. That was Captain Randall. You too could be chat leader if you watch New American Journal live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. I appoint a new chat leader every single day. That was the 150 IQ Captain Randall chat leader. Thank you for that. Let's get Mary back on the line. A little bit of a phone issue there. Mary, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you, Rex?
I'm good.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. I just want to tell you that we love you, and we know that Alex must be so proud of you. You are just a chip off the old block and then some.
Very kind.
But we're sad because we agree with you about Trump and what's going on with Iran, and it's
right.
Really sad.
No,
I don't know what to do. I don't know what we should do because we voted for him 3 times, and so – you know, now I wouldn't vote for him. I wouldn't even, I don't want to hear his voice now.
Right. And that's the heartbreaking thing about all this is, you know, 2 years ago, I was like vehemently supporting him and I believed in his platform. And we've just seen in real time, like they say, when trust like falls, it falls out of the sky. And that's basically what we've witnessed here is just he has violated every single campaign promise that he made. And then we're supposed to act like that's normal. And my question is, when you violate every single campaign promise that you make, and then juxtapose it by saying the Democrats will do the opposite of what you're doing because what you're doing is so great, how is that not dooming yourself and the country to defeat and failure totally voluntarily on his part? All right. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Stay on the line, guys. If you want to keep talking, I'm here to talk to y'all. I really appreciate your time as well. Thank you for calling in. Like, seriously, like I was in a studio when I was like 9 years old, sweating bullets, trying to figure out how to do this stuff. And I'm here. Let's see. Gosh, I'm retarded. I'm here literally like 15 years later. You know, I'm about to be 24 years old. I've been doing this for such a long period of time, you know, both on and on, really just watching people learning how to do it via osmosis. It is, it's amazing. I feel like I know all of you, so well. And, I love you so much. I really do. Let's go to Duke in Oklahoma. How bad the war is. Duke, you're on the air.
I am kind of astounded on how bad things really are. And like your dad says, I always get these epiphanies more now than ever before of the situation and how dire it is this country is in. And I feel like I'm by myself. I mean, I know I listen to you guys. I've been listening to Alex since before Waco. And
wow.
I'm kind of in shock right now a little bit because of the downloads I'm getting about how bad the situation is. And I just don't see the panic in people. I know it's just because of me, but I don't feel the sense that everybody's on this page of panic about how bad things really are because we're not working towards a certain goal, an individual goal of trying to stop this in a direct way. I mean, we do it indirectly, but we're not directly dealing with these problems that's facing America right now. And, you know, just like Captain Randall, you know, he was talking about, and yeah, we give him heck, on the morning show, but, he was talking about how bad things are. And as far as Americans don't have the jobs, the money because of the infiltration of the illegal immigrants taking over the Hindus. We are in so much trouble, and I just don't sense that we've gotten to a point to where we all are just at that point where we're actually trying to do something about it other than this indirect way. And it just it blows my mind that I can just see how bad it is. I feel it. I sense it. It's just get going from worse to just crazy town.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's hell in a handbasket would be the correct way to say it. And, none of this stuff makes sense. Not even done in service of like conquest or even our empire. It reminds me of in Star Wars when Anakin Skywalker is now Darth Vader and he's about to fight Obi-Wan Kenobi and Obi-Wan is trying to rationalize with him. And Anakin says, I'm doing all this for my new empire. And Obi-Wan says, your new empire? Because it's not your new empire, your new empire. It is the empire of the evil space wizard that convinced us to do all this stuff. And I really would point as Israel as the main cause in that degradation of our, you know, standing across the world and here at home. It's really unfair what the American people have had to suffer through as a result of all these banker, neocon, Zionist wars. And I do think people are going to wake up to it. It's always darkest before the dawn. We're in a really deep lull period right now. It's like 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. in the morning. But 2027, 2028, even 2026 with the midterms are coming, and the Republicans are going to have to face reality. You're not going to be able to guilt trip people anymore. You're not going to be able to tell them that it's their fault, that, oh, no, we're going to lose now. The Democrats are going to screw things over when we're drowning. We're all drowning right now. I'll be back taking more of your calls. Stay tuned. Stay with me. See you soon.
I'm extremely excited about this. You know we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this is works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexshowstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams, and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New liquid ultimate turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the show. I've got more callers on the board. We've got more news to cover. I want to go to this thing that I just saw. It's horrific. I just retweeted two things, actually. We're going to save that for a second. I want to get one caller on the board before I reveal the latest Trump news. Clyde from Ohio, you're on the air. How are you doing?
I am doing
Hey, I am doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal.
Well, first off, thanks for the call. I'm really honored to be talking to you, Rex, and being on the show. I've been listening since, like, literally I was in, like, ninth grade.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm 32 now. I'm here in Cleveland, Ohio. First, I want to do a product plug. Every day I take Optimal Human, and since I've been taking it, I feel a lot more energy. The nice. Green drink. I also take the Methylene Blue. And so if anybody wants to get it, you should definitely go to thealexjonesstore.com/cfox and get everything you need there. And the water filter. The water filter is great. I use that for me, my family, my kids. But anyway, to what I came here to talk to you about is number one is Islam. I'll talk about that. I have a special place in conservatism here. I'm a conservative black Muslim. You don't see that very often. You don't hear that very often. I reverted myself back in like 10th grade. And so what I wanted to talk about, number one, quick, I want to ask you, what is your general view on things when it comes to Islam? Because I hear a lot of negative things kind of like coming from InfoWars in general. I just feel like some of the, there's some misconceptions that I hear.
Here's the thing. The West is not built on it. The West is built on Greek philosophy, Roman government, and then the Christian belief system. So as far as the West, meaning like Western civilization and like what I'm proud of, what I support, that's my culture. That's my tradition. And in America, it was set up by Freemasons, George Washington, you name it. I'm not trying to make a claim that this is like some sort of like fundamentalist Orthodox nation or anything. We have freedom of religion. Everyone gets to practice their religion. I think that's a beautiful thing. That being said, I'm not a fan of Islam. That's why I'm not a Muslim. So with that being said, especially to the global population, I believe everyone's created by God, and I don't want anyone innocent to ever even get hurt, much less die. And when I look at all these wars and genocides that we commit in the name of, you know, putting it all on the Muslim as the boogeyman, the only reason we're making terrorists out of these people is we're dropping bombs on their houses. So I think that's a very simple concept to explain. As far as you and your personal faith, it's not mine, and I have my own religious beliefs, and I disagree with Islam, but I have respect for you, I could be friends with you, and I'll never, I'll never be cruel. That's my position, so.
Made my, like, my day. I really appreciate it. I know that that's not the view of everybody there, but I really appreciate that, because, like, just hearing that from you.
Yeah, no,
100%. I feel alienated, but, you know, on our end, because people, they go so hard against Islam, and the Islam that I know is literally all about, number one, you can't force anybody to become Muslim. I'm not going to go on a tirade about it, but that's one of the big things that I hear. Oh, they're making people Muslim. Like, that's not even part of Islam. If they're doing that, they're not a real Muslim. That'd be like me saying every other thing is whatever other person. You know what I mean? You're putting that all on one group because of some people that aren't even representing the true people that
I understand you saying that. I understand your practice, but what do you think in the book, in the Quran, where it says you pay the tax, you convert, or you die? Is that like outdated, like the Old Testament?
I believe that
real.
I would say is that, so my answer to that would be is the pillars of Islam is that you have to choose to be part of Islam. And no one can force you, nor can you force someone to become Islam, become a Muslim. And if anyone is doing that or feeling that they can do that or has forced someone to do that, A, the people who are forced to do it are not true Muslims because they were forced to do it and not true.
I can understand you saying that. It's just like you said, like you're a black conservative Muslim. Well, I'm European, and we have like longer than a thousand year history of fighting these people because they expanded into our territory and forced us to convert to their religion. That's why I have a problem with Islam, fundamentally. That's ancient history. Charles Martel, Battle of Tours, 732 AD.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I'm not super familiar with that.
I totally get it. I understand. I respect you. I love you, brother, even if we disagree on matters of faith. Thank you for calling into the show. Let's go to Michael in Missouri, Free Energy and Trump. Michael, you're on the air. Michael,
I've seen you for a long time. Hello?
You're on the air?
Am I there?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay, great. Rex, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I have watched you grow up on this channel, and
yep.
I've always been really impressed with you. And I think your dad did a great job, and your mom, too.
Thank you. Very kind.
But as far as what I wanted to talk about first was Donald Trump. And I would just have to say that I was a true fanboy of Donald Trump's all through. You know, I voted for him every time. I told people in 2015 he was going to be the next president. I thought we were going to have a new era. I thought he would actually get a hold of some of the bank situation, you know, the Fed, and maybe get rid of it, maybe get us remonetized somehow and get us off of this petrodollar. But apparently, I don't know what has happened of recent and why he has become such an opposite of what he was just maybe a year ago. I don't know if it is illness. I don't know if it is blackmail. But I'm now in agreement that if he continues on with what he's doing, he may have to be removed.
Right.
And I would have never said that even probably 2 months ago.
Right.
And I got on Truth Social today and I just let him have it because he
based. Let's go. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. He just, man, I tell you, he just has ruined his legacy.
That's right.
I mean, any legacy that he's going to leave, it's going to be remembered as war.
Yes.
And he was the one that constantly ranted and raved about, you know, not going to war.
To come in here to make your point more powerful, to amplify and enhance it. He won in 2016 on a referendum against the Iraq war. So go ahead.
Oh, yes,
keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say that he would rant and rave about George W. Bush and his war. And he had disagreed about going into Iraq, as you say, and, you know, making fun of the Bushes and their neocons and everything. And of course, I knew that. I quit being a Republican in 2006 after Bush let everything slide and let Obama come in and take over health care. That was a big deal for me. I was a school teacher in Arkansas for 21 years, and my insurance kept going up and up and up. And I thought, well, George Bush will do something about it. And that's when I really started to understand what a neocon was. I'm 58 years old now.
Right.
But became a conservative when, probably in about 1992, when I first heard Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
And thanks to him, I became a conservative. I probably always was, but he convinced me that I was and began to look at the different tenets of it. But anyway, I'm so disappointed. And what makes me even sicker is the fact that he has not said a word about this defense authorization and this section 224. Is that right? Is it 224?
They changed it to 219.
Okay, 219. Okay. Well, I just cannot believe that he wants to relinquish sovereignty, and that's what it is. If we're going to relinquish our sovereignty against the Constitution, and it also is against the senatorial rules, which state treaties and those kinds of things have to be voted on. And I don't understand who is running the show, but this is illegal.
Yes. It's all illegal on its face. It's treason. It's what it is. It's treasonous behavior. It's treasonous activity. He literally ran on not doing the war. He's not even fighting the war for us. He's fighting the war for another country, Israel. And you talk about the NDAA, talk about Section 219, formerly Section 224, and then Section 612, which is the CIA-Mossad merger. You think about these things. The DIA just came out with the threat assessment when it comes to Israeli intelligence as the highest, up there with China and Russia, the nations that we talk about fighting all the time, right? How are we doing this military merger? Like, what's going on there? Very obviously, we're owned. Like, that's what it is. We're our own nation, and you know, we're beggars in the lands that our fathers and forefathers conquered, and mothers as well. So, like, everyone should feel a certain kind of way about this. It's a part of the American project, because whether you're white, black, Mexican, Asian, whatever, if you got history here, we're a very young country. We're building something here together. They took that away from us and made the entire world hate us. They did that to us. That's our leadership in service of a foreign power. You look at the foreign power, it's kind of like they do what they do. Of course Netanyahu is going to be evil. Like, would you expect Dick Dastardly from the Wacky Races to be a good guy? Of course not. But when you have someone that portrays themselves, and literally not just portrays themselves, runs on the good, honest values and then completely rejects them all in favor of being pro-war, I don't think you can call that anything else but treasonous. Thank you for your call. Really appreciate that. Let's go to one more here, or two more. We got Mary back on the line. Let's go to Mike first. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I had to turn it off speakerphone.
You're good. What's up?
Well, you know, you just about said it all. I'm going to give you one happy note that you guys need to talk about happy stuff once in a while, too.
I agree.
And here's another thing. Have faith in God.
Yes.
This has been going on since I'm almost 70 years old. This has been going on since before I was born. My dad was telling me about this. And, yes, we got to keep fighting, but, man, don't let it bum you out.
100%.
You know, live your life, have children, live your life and do the best you can. I'm on a fixed income now, and it's rough. And excuse my voice, I had to have a vocal cord removed.
So, you're good, brother. You're good. You're a real American. I really appreciate your call. Thank you, sir. Very kind. Mary, you're back. Third time's a charm, right?
Hi, Rex. Sorry, I don't know what's happening. I don't know whether it's me or what's going on over there. But
you're all good.
Just wanted to let you know, I already told you how great I think you are and what a chip off the old block and all that. But I just wanted to ask you a question. What do you think we should do now? Like, what should we do now? Because I'm just done. I don't know what to do.
It's time to start coalescing on people that we're going to be supporting in 2028. You know, I think people like MTG, people like Thomas Massey, even people like Joe Kent. I like these are the people that I'm looking at. I want to see more positions from them. I want to see them be more aggressive about what they believe in order to prove themselves. But I think the real transition that we're making as society becomes more and more digitized and as we're truly all more and more distracted is the only way we break through in this information war is people remembering it's an information war. And like I talk about all the time, everyone needs to be doing everything they can to wake up everything they know about everything that we've discussed on the show here today and just in ad infinitum. Like that's genuinely what it is. And I know that sounds just like, well, what is that going to do? Here's what that's going to do. We're at, we're like 54% through the year or something like that. It's the 22nd of July, 2026. We're going to be at the midterms in a few months. And after the midterms, you're going to get bare minimum gridlock. And I think you're probably going to get impeachment hearings after that. I think they're going to take both the House and the Senate. I think that's a rational prediction to make. I think what you're going to see there is Nick Fuentes talks about this all the time and he gets a lot of flack for it, but I think he's 100% correct. Me personally, I'm not showing up to vote in 2026 unless it's, you know, local or something else statewide that involves me. You know, it doesn't seem to involve me. Any of these elections for any of these people, they don't ever seem to help me out. They help Israel. So why should I show up for them? And I think you're going to see Trump held to account. And the real dangerous thing is going to be, are they going to do something fake on him? And they got plenty of fake options, just like Russiagate and all the other stuff. Are they going to cook the books because they're also involved in the war crimes, the warmongering, the genocide? Or are they going to realize, talking about Democrats here, are they going to realize the unique political moment they have and pose the same threat that Trump posed to them in 2024? That necessity will be the mother of all inventions on our side. We are still true to Trump-centric, Trump-focused, Trump-absorbed. That is all going away. The Ben Shapiro types, the Benny Johnson types, the Steven Crowder types, people like this that are like establishment, right? That's all going away because there's no home for you when you tied your wagon to a genocidal warmonger policy and you didn't admit from day one, hey, this is not what I voted for. You know, when you do that, you become an embarrassment. And you can try to play milquetoast fence sitter like Tim Pool and ride the fence and grind on it and do whatever. And that's okay. That might work for a while, but not if you're a politician. That's all going to be over with. And in response to those radical DSA type candidates that you're going to see on the left, I hope we see something on the right that transcends left and right, that's post-duopoly. These people that have the experience and have paid the toll for it. Look at Joe Kent as an example. I lost my wife in a war manufactured by Israel. There's no AIPAC ever again. You say something like that, probably try to kill your ass, right? So it's something like that, and I still want to see more out of him before I give him full endorsement. But you know, and stuff like that that gets me, you know, at least a little bit hopeful. That's my thought on that.
So much.
100%. Thank you for your call. Really appreciate it. We got another one. This is the last one I'm taking. Jeremy, California, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing? I want to thank you and your father
for
having the balls. I was calling in. I've called in quite a few times. I actually got into it with your father on the air here, and I wanted to apologize to him when the congresswoman got shot down there in Arizona.
We had a bird fall up here in Northern California, and I was calling in to let him know that we're experiencing some magnetism. Anyway, I wanted to apologize to your father for all the nonsense that I had said to him that day. But
you are voided and forgiven. It's all good. It was never an issue in the first place. We love you. Thanks for being a listener. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much. And I do. I use all your products, brother. I probably 15 of them. My personal trainer. I was a combat medic in the military for 8 years. And I was calling up today. Nobody's really talking about the Crime Act of 1790 and that we have to push this. I mean, it's
what is this? Break, right the, break this all, down. What's mm-hmm. this you're talking about here?
It's a law that we've had. It's called the 1790 Crimes Act. You could Wikipedia it or look it up, and it's basically about treason.
Okay.
Anybody's ever found to be treasonous, it's up to we the people, because the government is not going to prosecute itself. The government is – I don't understand why we're all sitting here. Like you said, the vote, give it up. You know, we're thinking that these – legislatives are going to rescue us when they're the ones doing it all. Nobody's going to help. You know, it's up to we the people. And it's just so, it's so distraught that the men, like you were talking about, or your father was talking earlier, how they brought in our testosterone down and they've guilted us into being men, what they've done to Tate and every true, like, alpha male, you know, trying to take everything down and just make everybody the better. So I don't understand how people are still having faith that we're going to be able to vote our way out or politicians are going to prosecute themselves.
Well, you know, when your testosterone goes up the most, and I assume it's probably the same for like combat military service, maybe you've experienced this,
right.
It's prison, right? That's where your
right.
testosterone will get the highest because you're in the worst situation. And it's literally, it's a link between your brain and your balls called the HPTA, the hypothalamus pituitary gonadal axis. It has that connection. Right. So we are in a society where things have been very, very easy for a very long time. And, you know, it's like Klaus Schwab talked about, but he's right. You know, we're going to live in an angrier world, or maybe it was George Soros that said it. And, you know, out of those hard times is going to come, you know, strong men and women that are going to have to deal with it. But a lot of us, myself included, have engaged in severe jellyfish person behavior for a very long time. And I can tell you, like, getting back into shape now, working out, trying to take care of my body more, trying to eat proper food. I mean, we are just poisoned from so many different angles that, you know, even subtracting a few of these negative habits from your life, you'll realize how addicted you were to them, especially with the food. I would definitely point that out. So I really appreciate your call. Thank you, Jeremy, for that. And I do want to tell you guys, I think today was a phenomenal show. Really looking forward to watching the clip, especially the interview. I'll definitely put that out on a New American Journal and Gray Area clips of that. But I do want to plug. I am a manufacturer of supplements all my own, but I do want to tell you really quick about the ones that I created for thealexjonesstore.com. That, of course, would be the Power Drive Bundle. We've got these products on the Alex Jones Store, and sometimes people don't know about them because, honestly, like my dad and Harrison, they don't plug them a lot, but they really should. It's the most phenomenal combination of two products that you could take to enhance both methylene blue and to enhance like physical, mental, whole body fitness. I've got the ultimate methyl drive, which is the methylcobalamin, methylated vitamin B12 combined with the CoQ10, with the PQQ, and with magnesium in the proper form to enhance the absorption and to help over 300 enzymatic processes throughout the body. What is Power Plant? You might ask. This is something I designed to make exercise easier on the physical and mental output level. That's not a health claim by me. That's just anecdotal report of people that have taken these herbs. You can look into the studies. Cordyceps mushroom increases oxygen carrying capacity and ATP. Very good for your mitochondria. Helps with the methylene blue in theory. Then we add on to that the Redolia roja, also known as golden root. What is that? That's a Viking adaptogen. They literally chewed on that in the boats when they were going to raid places, right? It's badass. It promotes dopamine, norepinephrine in the brain. It's going to make that exercise subjectively, in my anecdotal experience and opinion, it's going to make it, you know, you're going to feel better when you're in there. Not to mention the zinc and the boron, which if you're deficient, it's going to raise your testosterone and free testosterone through the roof. You can look at one boron study, men's free testosterone increased over 30%. That is a real sizable benefit that you're going to feel. A lot of these testosterone boosters only boost total testosterone. What that means in reality when you're boosting total T is you have something in your blood called SHBG, also known as sex hormone binding globulin. All right. Boron has been shown to raise free testosterone, which is the stuff that's not bound by that molecule. so it's actually bioavailable and can do its job within your system. So I'd highly recommend checking that out. Of course, also got selenium in there as well. Of course, talk to your doctor before you use any one of our supplements from thealexjonesstore.com. Very important. Do your own research. That's the whole nature of all this stuff. That's what we tell you to do about everything. But you do research on Google Scholar, on PubMed, on ChatGPT, on whatever you want to do. Go to your local library. It's going to tell you phenomenal things about these ingredients, and I bet you could use them to improve your life. We've got so much more available. We got the water filters, got the shower filter as well. I got to steal one of those for myself. Bigly, if you can hear me, send me the shower filter. Send me two of them, actually. Please, I need them. But seriously, like, we've sold water filtration over the years. We've always been known as having the best. That's why for a while we couldn't get the best anymore. My dad stopped selling them because he didn't want to promote something that was substandard. Now we have the absolute best. Get the shower head, especially for people like me. Like, my skin's sensitive to chlorine a little bit. Definitely attenuates that in the past when I've used other shower water filters. And I'll give you my review once I start using this one. The tank system that I've used is amazing, and I highly recommend it. Look at that. It's got the frog on there. It's got the frog, dude. You gotta get the frog. He's a happy little friend, and he's on the shower head filter. So get it now at thealexjonesstore.com. I got 2 minutes left. I did it. I did my job. Go to 50percentoff.com. I want to tell you about 50percentoff.com. I've got Knockout Sleep Support reloaded under a new label, added magnesium to it, a classic sleep blend that you know and love. And here's the thing. I've told Bigly about this like 18 times. They don't have a sleep product right now. So if you want to get a sleep supplement that has melatonin in it, has GABA, has L-theanine, has valerian root, has all these things you know and love for sleep, I mean, we literally, the old formula, this is a new product, of course, completely different under a new label, but the old product, we literally sold hundreds of thousands of units of. Millions of people have gotten better night's sleep due to our products. And people call us grifters and say we don't ever do anything good. I say we help a lot of people. We got a lot of phenomenal products available on thealexjonesstore.com. I want you always to remember, it's not just the supplements, not just the lifestyle equipment, survival gear, water filtration, stuff like that. There's also the apparel, there's the t-shirts, there's the hats, there's all of that. We had that caller that called in about the DVDs. Back in the day, I worked every job except for editor, because bad editor, whatever. But I was literally working at the Blue Ascension Warehouse, the fulfillment center, for a year plus, you know, and back when it was at the old building, I was in there running around as a little kid literally all day. It is part of my process, like wanting to see these products go out the door, knowing it's the highest quality stuff available. I mean, the new Bigly shirts with the fat tag, like, if you've been buying stuff for a while, you know what I'm talking about. Like, this is high quality merchandise, high quality stuff. And when you buy it, you're not supporting some evil corporate entity. You're supporting the show. You're supporting the show that you watch and giving independent media the ability that it needs to self-fund and actualize itself through you, the viewers and listeners, giving your support. So I really appreciate that. And again, I'm live every single morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In the morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and then Gray Area Talks, the evening show, 7:30 to 9:30, Thursday and Sunday. Check that out. Let's pump those numbers up a little bit. Go to the Rumble. Follow Gray Area Talks on Rumble and follow New American Journal on Rumble. Do what must be done, Lord Vader. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys, I think, tomorrow. Peace.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigly. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigly, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigly, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.